Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, I wish we were live. I wish the show was live, but it's not. It's not.
Tom, the show's live.
What? It's live? Well, how about that? As the late, great Mel Allen used to say when he talked about baseball, how about that? And congratulations to none of the baseball players, because the Hall of Fame announcements were just announced, and no one got in this year. How is it that Donald Trump didn't make Pete Rose a priority? Right? How is that literally not possible that he did not, like, demand that he be reinstated? Doesn't that seem like the most on-brand kind of thing for him? To be like, the Pete Rose is a hero. He's going to be celebrated. I demand that baseball reinstate him. All right. Or I'll levy a tax against baseball. Best show. That's what I picture. But he didn't. He didn't. Which is why he's a class act. Mr. Trump was I'll say this. Did I agree with him on everything? No, of course not. I didn't. Was he a class act? Undeniably. I can't even say that without somebody be like, get on me. People yelled at me for making jokes as if the strike one stuff was going to somehow get out of hand and somehow lead to a dummies would believe, because people would be like, oh, I get it. But dummies don't. I don't care. Dummies are going to be dumb. Dummies are going to dumb. Let them dumb. What are we doing tonight? Well, how about that? We got a grand program planned for you. We got, we're going to do the conclusion of the top 50 crab apples of all time. We will get to the bottom of the list. There's some reshaping and restructuring I want to happen on this list. A few things are out of place on it, and they will be rectified before the list is signed off on and certified and sent to Congress, where they will vote on it. Like Mitch McConnell will be like, I just want to say, we got the list, we got Marky Smith on the list. I want to do a filibuster about Marky Smith. Why? He's not as crabby as Terry Hall from the specials in Funboy 3. Well, we'll cross that road when we get to it, but tonight we do that. We got, I guess we'll be hearing from Rogo tonight. Scott Rogowski will be checking in to get feedback on the Fish music I listened to that he recommended. And I listened to all of it, and I listened to it, gave it my full attention. I listened to the things more than once so that I could discuss Fish like an expert. What do you call fish? Fish fans? Fishermen? I don't know. But tonight we got crabs and fish. It's like a regular, Long John Silver's up in here, right? We're talking about fish. We're talking about crab apples. Next thing you know, we're going to talk about Cheddar Bay biscuits. Jason, you ever have those Cheddar Bay biscuits at the Red Lobster?
Oh, all the time.
All
the time. I mean, in West Virginia, that was a big meal. Like,
sure.
That was a celebration.
And what, would they throw one down for you? Everyone
down the hall?
Yeah.
Yeah, whoever could catch it in their mouth got to keep it.
Sure. Like a big boss man throws down a Cheddar Bay biscuit.
Yeah.
It's like chum.
This is for you animals down there mining. There's a Cheddar Bay biscuit's coming down at noon. You get ready. One of you gets it.
Cheddar chum.
Oh, I just found the Cheddar Bay biscuit. The boss threw a Cheddar Bay biscuit down into the mine. Oh, this is delicious. This is the greatest day of my life.
Have you had a Cheddar Bay biscuit since the pandemic started?
Yes. I've probably ordered Red Lobster maybe 4 or 5 times since the pandemic started.
Now, you realize you live in New York City, right? You're not.
We've got a great Red Lobster right there in Times Square.
Yeah, I'm sure it's so different than all the other Red Lobsters. Oh, we've got a good red we've got a good Red Lobster over here. Not one of those, not one of those lousy Red Lobsters.
Yeah.
You understand how chain restaurants work, Jason?
Oh, do you? It's all the same. It's all wonderful.
Yeah. Look, if you say it's all wonderful, that's one thing, but you're hyping the Times Square Red Lobster as if it's got something going on that isn't at the other ones.
At one point in time, Kristen and I did wonder if they had a different chef than the other ones because it was so good.
Chef. They had a different chef. Yeah, it was the Naked Cowboy. Times Square Red Lobster. Oh, look, I'm not saying I wouldn't eat at the Times Square Red Lobster. Of course I would. You kidding? The garbage I eat? At this point, my menu's like a chud. I like a chud. That actually is my follow-up book. It's going to be called Eat Like a Chud. It's my guide, the Tom Sharpland guide to diet and exercise. Live like a chud. Do you know what a chud is, Jason?
It's one of those, like a sewer dweller? They live in toilets?
Cannibalistic.
They don't live in toilets.
That's where the chuds live.
No, they live in the underbelly, in the sewer.
But don't they come up through the toilets?
Oh, that's a good question. You might be right. I don't know. I don't know if a chud comes up out of a toilet, though.
I don't think they use doors.
So a chud's like a vampire? You got to invite it in?
I mean, if you leave the toilet seat up, that's almost an invitation.
Which is why I always leave it down.
Cannibalistic.
Humanoid.
What's the H stand for?
I think it's humanoid.
Humanoid?
Humanoid, yeah.
Urban.
What's the U?
Urban. Underground?
Underground.
Yeah, and the D?
Dweller.
Yeah. Eat like a chud. Live like a chud. Hi, I'm Tom Sharpling. And are you feeling real mopey in 2021? Well, you got to start living like a chud. And I'm going to show you how. First thing, let's get down in the sewer. Come on, climb down that weird ladder. God help me if I ever climb down one of those sewer ladders. Like the manhole gets lifted, and then you see that ladder that goes down. Oh, I ain't going down no chud ladder. You know what? Or maybe I am. I'll go down a chud ladder. What do I care? It's 2021. I'm here for adventure. And now I already got Mary's going after me on Twitter. Red Lobster's perfectly fine. Oh, I know it is. I know it's perfectly fine. I know it's perfectly fine. You don't think I know that? Come on, Mary. Look who you're talking to. I'm just saying you think Jason might, when's the last time you ate at the one place on 40th Street, the Carmine's?
Carmine's,
family style.
It was definitely before pandemic, but I want to say it was January before pandemic.
All right,
we went on a run where we would get some Carmine's.
Oh, people are destroying you on Twitter. By that, I mean one person.
Who? What did they say?
They're saying you're mixing up chuds and ghoulies.
Oh my God, I am.
You are. A ghoulie hops out of a toilet.
That is so true.
Right?
I apologize.
Who'd you rather party with? A chud, a ghoulie, or a goonie?
which Goonie?
I'll say this: if Chuds
know,
were on
all
the,
good enough,
if Chuds were on the loose, I'd still keep my toilet seat down.
I'd party with Chunk.
Chunk. Okay. Well, we can arrange that.
Is he like a lawyer now?
Yeah. Well, we'll set it up. You and Chunk at the Red Lobster in Times Square.
Give my compliments to the chef.
Yeah. Please. You and Chunk. I'd like to meet the chef. I believe there's a different chef here. There just has to be. These cheddar bay biscuits. This is too good. It's so funny that, like, look, and again, I'm not judging. I'd eat a Red Lobster in a heartbeat. But just the idea that your mind, it's very telling that you and Kristen, your minds go to, this is too good. What's going on here?
I honestly considered calling them.
As if there had to be some sort of problem, some sort of like loophole for why a Red Lobster would be this good.
Yeah. Something is off.
Yeah. Well, you know what isn't off? The best show is on the air tonight. Freaky Friday, Crab Apple Part 2. Let's do it. Welcome back to the best show, which is the show that has been going on for a lot of years. Remember when it started? It started a long time ago. But here I am, still doing it. Yeah. My name's Tom. I'm the host. And we got an exciting show for you tonight. The phone number, 201-332-3484. If you want to get in on the action, we got a full house tonight. Real murderer's row going here. Got Of course, we got Jason. We heard from him earlier. How are you, Jason?
Doing good.
Good, good, good. We got Pat. Pat, are you there, Pat?
Tom, I'm feeling it.
No, Pat. Okay. Well, we had a good run. We got Mike. Is Mike around?
Wait, I was muted by the host.
Oh, muted by the host. Oh, see, it starts already. It starts already.
I had a line muted. Ready to go for you, and it was muted.
Now, how are you, Pat?
Tom, I'm feeling it.
I love it. Well, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, it's a good thing.
And like my boys in Faith No More said, Pat, what is it if you're feeling it?
So wait, what, during the Chud thing, was I muted then too?
Oh, yeah, you were muted the whole time.
Okay, because I was contributing the whole time. I thought you were ignoring me.
No, wasn't.
I had some great lines. Damn.
No, you got,
I'm gonna miss too bad.
Snaked by the host.
Well,
I didn't do that, so technically, I guess that would have been prep.
Look, is Chud my wheelhouse? Weird. Yes, it is. But, you know, that's fine.
You a fan of Chud's?
I love Chud. I met the guy who wrote Chud when I was in college.
You did?
Yeah, he spoke in my screenwriting class.
All right.
It's crazy.
That's exciting. Mike, you here?
I'm here, Tom.
Ah, there he is. It's like the sun going down or rising. I'm not sure which it goes east or west. I never paid attention to that stuff. But it's the kind of stuff you set your watch to it. It's that voice that's like, honey.
Is that what it is?
It's just like honey, just like honey dripping onto a carburetor.
That's interesting. I had some car troubles last night, so yeah.
You did?
Yeah. Fortunately, it happened near. I was coming down to my father's place, and it started a loud rattling sound, and then I got to a parking lot. I'm seeing sparks and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this isn't good. So I rattled down about a mile, and I was able to leave the car overnight at a service place and go there this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Did you
park it off to the side? You park it in front of like the air.
No, they had an ample parking lot.
Okay. You didn't park in front of the pumps. Just leave a broken down car in front of the pumps.
No, I was very lucky in that I was able to get it to this place.
And Brad, you here? Brad is here.
I'm here. Yeah. Yeah. Good, happy to be here.
Great, great. Thank you. Now, I want to say this. Now that I have, and Brett, you're exempt from this. This is not your problem. Pat, sorry. Mike, and Jason. Mm-hmm. I was listening and watching the George Lucas talk show on Sunday. And now they had, and this is a show. This is not a big show. George Lucas talk show. It's a great show. It's not a big show. They got Whoopi Goldberg checked in. They got Tom Everett Scott. They got Richard Karn from Home Bleepin' Improvement checking in. And I said to myself, I could have thrown up. I could have thrown up the second I saw these people. On this thing. I said to my, and I, you know why? I'll say why. The kid that runs that show is as dumb as a bag of hammers. He's like a box of rocks upstairs. He ain't no great shakes. This kid. He got Whoopi Goldberg. Tom Everett Scott. This is Tom Everett Scott. Richard Karn. That's Al from Tool Time. Meanwhile, I'm over here. I'm beating the bushes to get people on. I got Kim Gordon. I got the Borat 2 director Jason Walliner. We got Meryl Marco. These are all great guests. But I look at the support staff. The best thing I got is a guy that, threw up on David Lynch's shoes once or something. Like, yeah, in the last two years, the closest I've gotten to a top level guest is a guy who threw up on the set of the Twin Peaks reboot.
Yeah, David Crosby.
Yeah, was that 5 years ago?
That wasn't 5 years ago. That was
check when that was.
That was not new. That was four. The drunk from Twin Peaks. That was 3 years ago.
Okay, well, that's not anything to hang your hat on. You say he did it sooner than you did. When was the David Crosby? 4 years ago?
I think it was four. Yeah, I think it was
4 years ago.
Yeah.
The drunk from Twin Peaks 3 years ago.
I got Mike White a while back.
Yeah, was that 8 years ago?
I wasn't even on the show when you did that.
Yeah, no, that was the end.
Still, it was a get.
You guys get me good guests. So like it's like Halley's Comet.
I'll start combing the Twitter.
Once every 80 years, you throw me a good guest. From the staff.
The George Lucas talk show was for charity this weekend. We never do anything for charity. We do.
You know how much money this show's given away?
That's why I retracted it.
Yeah.
I know. But that's a get, though. You say you're coming on and saying this is for charity.
Pat's bragging, oh, I went to school with the Chud, the guy who wrote Chud.
Who wrote Chud?
Is he bringing the guy who wrote Chud by? Anytime soon? No.
Sorry, am I unmuted? Okay, sorry.
You're unmuted, okay. Yes. I'm saying this. The kid that runs the George Lucas talk show, this kid is as dense as they come. Seriously. He's like 10 pounds of stupid in a 5 pound sack. I'm sorry if that's too much. Patrick, I apologize.
Patrick's great. I love Patrick.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But he's a talent booker, and that's what he did for a living.
I tell you, Carl Yastrzemski, on this day of all days with the Hall of Famer Carl Yastrzemski. Jason just said, but Carl Yastrzemski said, if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a hell of a Christmas. No more ifs, no more buts. The only buts I want are about butts sitting down in front of their phones to call the best show. Celebrity butts.
So anyone Richard Karn level is what you're hoping for.
No, Richard Karn and above.
And above. Nothing below Karn.
Can you believe I'd want to shoot higher than Richard Karn? You're all on alert. You're not, Brett, because you rep Double Threat. You're here to help the technical side of things.
That's right. Yeah.
But let me ask you, Brett, in all seriousness, when you see this performance in terms of the guest booking thing, what's the first word that pops in your mind?
I mean, if I'm being honest, the very first word was underwhelming.
How many more weeks with Brett?
I don't know. Brett might be permanent.
Yeah, as long as you need me, guys. Thank you, Brett. Always happy to lend a hand.
I appreciate it. I appreciate somebody getting the fire around here. And speaking of fire, we just heard Captain Beefheart and his magic band with a hot track called Moonlight on Vermont from the hit album Trout Mask Replica. Hi, it's Casey Kasem, and at number 33 from the album, his name was Don Van Vliet, and he went to high school with Frank Zappa, and he's got the 33rd song at number 33 this week. It's from Trout Mask Replica, Moonlight on Vermont, up three, he'd say up three, down five. It's Captain Beefheart and his magic band. Alert. You're on alert. All three are on alert. Beat the bushes. You get me some gets. I want some gets. I see Whoopi Goldberg come through on that show. I could have thrown up. I'm sitting there and I got David Crosby. I had to do a magic trick to keep him on the air. Pretend I heard his last album. Oh, you're one of those fans that just likes the 60s stuff. No, I'm not. I like your new album. Star Sail. Okay. What are you thinking, Pat?
I'm thinking they had Whoopi Goldberg. I'm thinking whoop-de-damn-do. That's what I'm thinking.
Are you thinking that in terms of, like, who cares about me and who cares about the best show? Or are you thinking, like, I'm going to prove myself now?
Tom?
Yeah? What's that, Pat?
I'm going to leave that one in your mind for interpretation.
Oh, that's a power move. Mike, what are you thinking? Yeah, you're going to go get the drunk from Twin Peaks to call back up again?
Now, you know what I was thinking? I actually wanted to put him on tonight's Crab Apples, Inanimate Objects, Tom Cruise's Pandemic Police Robots.
No, that's not happening. You know what a crab.
Show me the face masks. You infect me.
What are you, a Dalek?
I'm Tom Cruise's Pandemic Police Robots.
It's like the worst season of Doctor Who. Show me the face masks. Ay. I'm never going to get a single guest out of this group. I'll be lucky to get the drunk from Twin Peaks back again. With this, I got one guy pitching me, Tom Cruise. He's doing Jerry Maguire jokes.
Those are his only memorable lines.
I'll say this. Well, look at this. How about this? Jason going right to Ryan Reynolds on Twitter.
I'm going big. He goes
right to Ryan Reynolds. I give him credit. Right to Ryan. I'll say this, Jason. Good on you.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, and you better. I'm telling you, Karn is the starting point. And you ask yourself, when you're going after a guest, you ask yourself, is this guest bigger than Richard Karn from Home Improvement? That's the starting point. Karn or above. And there'll be incentives. This is my Glengarry Glenn Ross moment. You get a watch. You want a nice watch? One of the three of you? Then you get a set of steak knives? The third of you. You're out in your ass. Watch, steak knives, you're out on your ass. I want names. And again, have you ever talked to that kid from George Lucas Talk Show?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
He's a good dude.
No, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
There ain't much happening on the brain front, but he's a nice guy. But he gets Whoopi Goldberg. Someone said Woody Allen. I don't want Woody Allen. That's one. Keep Woody Allen off the show.
So that's below Karn.
No, it's not below Karn. It's just I still want him on.
I bet I could get them really easily.
What are you going to tell? You tell them it's a old time radio show.
We're reviewing clarinets.
Yeah, we're doing it's a clarinet review show. Hey, we're talking about clarinet reads here tonight on the best show. Do you like a two or a two and a half? Let's talk. We got from New York, Woody is on the line. Woody, what do you think?
I like to use a two. It's a softer reed.
I'm telling you. I want some movement. And I tell you, you better not go get, don't get me the, if one of you goes and gets me the kid from George Lucas talk show, my head will explode. In a bad way. He's not a star. Just because he's next to stars. And he's a talent booker. Is that what you say, Jason?
Yeah, didn't he book talent for Gethard Show?
Okay, well, good for him.
Yeah. So he's got a Rolodex. We just have Twitter.
Yeah, where on earth would you get your hands on a Rolodex? This guy's hobnobbing with Drew Barrymore.
You're never going to have me on the show again, Tom.
He's hobnobbing with Drew Barrymore. He's doing fancy voiceovers. You don't think I hear the fancy voiceovers? I hear the fancy voiceovers. This guy's got it all going on. John O'Hurley. No, that's not a guest I want. I want Mr. From Seinfeld. What was his name again?
Peterman.
Mr. Peterman. I don't want Mr. Peterman. Who? So, Jason, you took a swing at Ryan Reynolds as a guest. Anyone else? Anyone else I'm going to see pop up in the feed you're reaching out to?
Oh, there'll be a few tonight.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
What about instead of Peterman, the guy that brought the gun to the movie theater?
Oh, was it Mickey? Brody?
Brody.
If you got Brody from the episode.
That's some kind of feedback you got going there.
You got Brody? That puts you're in good shape. You're off the hot seat for a month get Brody from Seinfeld. This is what I want. I don't want Mr. Peterman, but if you give me some weirdos from Seinfeld.
What if I get Newman?
Wayne Knight?
Yeah.
Go for it.
All right.
Wayne Knight, you don't know what you got coming your way, Wayne Knight. You're about to get bugged on Twitter. Mike, you checking out of this competition?
No, I actually have somebody who's been on the show before, but we can discuss. He wrote a book recently. And I've read two books. Kevin Corrigan.
That's not a get. I have his phone number. I have a phone. I made that connection.
Have you read his books?
No, but I did. But it doesn't mean I can't get him on the show. I could text him right now.
No, I know you could do that, but I could get him to talk about the books on the show. I've read them.
Tom, if you give me 40 minutes, I'm pretty sure I can get Scott Rogowski on.
Oh. Nah, that's just a slap in the face. Yeah. Well, you might as well. Is that your guest also? Is that your guest, Pat?
Scott Rogowski? Scott's on tonight. I've been texting with him. He'll be on about, within the hour. Yeah.
What's next, Mike? Who else are you going to get me?
KV.
Yeah, Kevin, Kurt Vile next?
Kurt Vile.
I'm going to bring Kevin Corrigan onto the best show. Oh, really? You guys been in the studio 11 times. I don't know. I'm telling you. You got to look in the mirror. You say to yourselves, the kid from George Lucas talk show showed me up. You going to let him dunk on you like that? You going to let him throw down on you like that? I would hope not. I would hope not. Got any calls, Pat?
Full phones.
Give me line one, please.
Line one.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to the best show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Angela from Ithaca.
Angela from Ithaca. How are you tonight, Angela?
I'm doing okay, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. You sound a little mellow tonight, Angela.
Oh, well, I'm trying to keep the temper down. I'm quarantining and a little stressed out, so I'm actively trying to keep it mellow.
Okay. Well, that's I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
How's 2021 going for you so far?
Oh, delightful.
Delightful, eh?
Yeah.
Tell me about some of these delights, Angela.
Let's see. My children were both exposed to COVID at school, so we're on lockdown, and I'm trying to teach with my children also going to school at home. It's fun times.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's a handful.
It's a handful and a half.
So you're currently waiting to see, it's your business, your family, I'm not prying.
Oh, yeah, but no, we gotta, go ahead.
You're waiting it out? You're waiting, you're quarantining to see how everybody does?
Yeah, basically. We're gonna wait, okay. And we're all gonna go do a family test on Friday after we feel like it's been a proper amount of time to, let it brew if it's brewing.
Well, Angela, I hope when you say you're doing a family test, you will each have different swabs. I hope this is not. I hope you're just not passing that thing down the line.
Well, you gotta, conserve, reduce, reuse.
Sure. No, I understand the idea of austerity during these times, but maybe you might want to splurge on that one. On individual COVID swabs for the family.
Well, treat yourself, sure. Yeah, that sounds.
Yeah, live it up a little bit.
Good idea. I'll take you up on that.
So you have called about what now?
I had a couple for the topic, or one for the topic, and one for an old topic. But yeah. But I don't think this is for the crab apples. I listened, live last week, and I heard almost to the end, and then I had to go to sleep, so I don't think he's been mentioned. But I was thinking about Wilfred Brimley.
That's a pretty good one. He's...
Yeah.
He is like that... like that kind of grizzled old man.
Yeah, cranky old man.
He might be on the top. If we did a top 50 grizzled list, he'd be on it.
That would be a good list.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe I'll hold off.
Okay.
On Wilford Brimley for the crabapple list and put him on the top 50 most grizzled list.
I like that, the grizzly bear list.
Because the grizzled list will be Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Right? Sam Elliott, definitely. Chris Christopherson.
Yes.
And of course, Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
There was that moment where people realized that when Wilford Brimley filmed the movie Cocoon, he was the same age as Tom Cruise when he filmed the most recent Mission Impossible movie.
That's not Which true, is it?
It is true. I think they were both like 55 or 56.
Wow.
And just picture Wilford Brimley hanging off the side of a plane. Oh, hell, I'm trying to hold on to this jet. They got me flying over the... I guess I got to run on these rooftops here in London. Oh, my damn back is killing me. Oh, I got to take my shoes off for a second. Let these dogs breathe for a minute. Dogs are barking. I got to sit down. I think this guy might get away with the nuclear codes. I can't run after him anymore.
That would be great.
That would be great. Now, when you hear this list of my, what my producers, my esteemed producers, when you hear that Jason Dudio Gore, by all accounts, respected in the industry, mm-hmm. a professional, beloved, great guy from everything I hear, great guy. Word is he's a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear him say, when I say, like, we got to step these guests up because this clown from the George Lucas talk show showed us up, and then he goes, I got David Crosby. And he got David Crosby pretty much before Donald Trump was president.
Uh-huh.
And then, as if I'm supposed to be happy with that, as if that's enough. Mm-hmm. And then Mike gets this guy who was on Twin Peaks for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. The reboot.
I got Kevin Smith.
You did get Kevin Smith. How long ago was that,
Mike? Yeah, it was a while ago, but still. Yeah,
a while.
I got three people. I'll put them up against David Crosby.
Okay, so in the esteemed...
So you got the new show,
yeah,
Mike.
It was back on WFMU.
Since we've started on a new show, you got the drunk from Twin Peaks.
A get is a get.
No, it's not.
It's a feather in my cap. It's a feather in my cap.
A weird cap.
A feather in my cap is a cat. Yeah. That's an old cap, my friend.
Yeah.
So who are your three gets, Mike? Kevin Smith.
Mike White.
You got Kevin Smith back in what year? 2007?
Something like that.
Mike White was shortly after that. Uh-huh. Say 2010. Uh-huh. And then you got the drunk from Twin Peaks 3 years ago.
Yeah.
What are you, Neutral Milk Hotel? It's like you're getting less movement here on the catalog than that guy. I tell you. And then you got Jason Stilton. I remember when David Crosby called up. Remember? Yeah, no, I remember. He was on the phone for 4 minutes.
Yeah, I'm working on three ones right now.
All right. Good. I hope you are. And I'm telling you, better if you go get me if you get the chef from the Red Lobster in Times Square, I'm hanging up on him. That's not a celebrity.
He's a really good chef.
No, I'm sure he's great.
Did you read about David Crosby when he said when Van Halen, somebody asked him, to comment when Eddie Van Halen passed, mm-hmm. and he just said, nah.
Really, yeah, that's one of those tweets really. You can definitely sit out. he could have held off on that one.
Weigh in.
Who would you like? Now, who would you like to see one of these guys go after as a guest?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't want to throw down the gauntlet.
I'll just throw a name out. Maybe they can chase after them.
Just any guest?
Yeah, who would be a fun guest to have on the show?
Bernie Sanders.
There you go. Swing for the fences, guys. You get me Bernie Sanders.
That would drive you nuts, though, wouldn't it?
Why?
He'd be going into the 1% of this and that, and you'd be like, all right.
This is driving me nuts now.
I think I found my guy. I'm zeroing in.
Do you want to give a hint?
Yeah, he's running for mayor of New York City this year.
Is he the rent is too damn high guy, or is he retired?
I think that guy passed away.
Oh, that's sad. I feel bad.
Now, who's running for this guy? Mike's getting somebody who's running for mayor.
He's going for Andrew Yang, and he'll probably get him because that dude's desperate for any kind of.
No, street media. Guy. I'm going for a street guy.
You're not Curtis going Sliwa? For Andrew Yang?
Yeah, Curtis Sliwa. I like to hear you and Curtis Sliwa going.
Yeah,
trust
me, Mike. We've been working on Curtis Sliwa for Double Threat for about 6 months.
Oh, have you?
Ain't going to happen.
Oh, He's tough to get to, really?
You gotta, you gotta call the payphone at just the right time.
Okay.
Oh, he's out. For him to pick up on that. He picks up that payphone on the, over on the 42nd Street, 42nd Street subway line. You just hope you catch him. You hope he's hovering next to it.
I'm looking at his Twitter feed and he's kind of grizzled now. He's got like this, some sort of, not a beard, but, 3 days growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, God bless you, Mike. You're working hard. All right. So, well, thank you. Anything else tonight?
No, I had one for a 2 week old topic. I had one
what do you
saving for the Jersey weed strains. I was thinking Raw Way to Heaven.
Raw Way to Heaven is a great one.
Okay.
And we're smoking some Raw Way to Heaven.
Perfect.
All right. Thanks for the call, Angela.
Have a good night.
And Angela, look, I didn't one time, not one time did I reference Who's the Boss. You got another call for me, Pat? Line two? You going to give me line two?
Sure do.
Heaven is a great one.
Besho, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, this is Shane in Anchorage, Alaska. Good evening.
Good evening to you. What time is it in Anchorage right now?
It is 5:50 p.m. here right now.
And how's Alaska life treating you these
days? It's cold. It's dark. But mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
You hanging out? You got a lot of... got a lot of what's your favorite restaurant to eat at?
Well, there's a place called Moose's Tooth Pizza that's pretty good.
That sounds great.
But other than that, probably Chili's or McDonald's. There's not too much.
No Red Lobster?
There is. You know what? There was a Red Lobster.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah. What happened to it?
But
got attacked by some caribou? You should have seen the funniest thing. We're eating Red Lobster. I just order the shrimp platter, and then a pack of caribou run in the place and trash the whole joint. I got some caribou running out. They got my basket of Cheddar Bay biscuits stuck on his antlers.
It happens.
So what do you got for me, my friend?
Well, I got a couple crab apples. One, I only just thought of. You mentioned Carl Yastrzemski, and it made me think of the ultimate crab apple moment in history that I know of, at least, is Ted Williams refusing to come back on the field after hitting a home run in his final at-bat in Fenway Park. Refusing to come back on the field, refusing to acknowledge the fans, just into the dugout and out of his career.
Hey, like some people might take that as there's a stoicism there.
Okay, I'll take that. Well, let me hit you with this one then. And I know this was trending a little bit on Twitter, but I was watching the Lakers a couple weeks ago, and I realized that Lakers point guard Alex Caruso looks like a happy and smiling Ian MacKay. And I realized Ian MacKay, ultimate crab apple.
Ian MacKay is a pretty good crab apple. Let's see this crab apple list. Where should Ian MacKay go on this crab apple list?
17?
Where is this gosh darn list? Is there a link to the list, my friends?
Can you check your email from last week, or do you want me to re-forward it?
If you could re-forward it, that'd be nice.
I'll re-forward it right now.
Thank you. Oh, I like that. I'll go right now and do it. Love this. See, this is what I'm talking about. Because, look, you guys are smart. All three of you. You're all smart. That kid on the George Lucas talk show.
I'm talking to him right now, too.
Were you winding them up?
No.
Oh no! This is best show sedition right there. This is your equivalent of storming the Capitol.
This is not storming the Capitol if I'm asking for tips. You want good people? I want to bring you good people. So
fair enough. Oh, so you're doing it out. You're not going, boy, Tom's laying into you hard tonight, huh?
No. I did say that. Yeah.
Oh, that's best show sedition.
That's honesty.
Nah, it's like when you tweet somebody and go, like, when you have to do the at on it, when you want to bum them out a little bit, and then they have to look and see the thing you wrote. That's fine. Best show sedition. I get it. You're like the Holly of the best show.
No.
You're like Josh Hawley. No, that's a compliment.
Josh Hawley. No, it is not.
He's got a book coming out. He's got a book. He's a successful guy. He's got a book. He's doing great. All right. So who else do you have for the tonight on this call?
This may fit more in with your grizzled list you were just discussing, but I'm thinking, at least the past decade or so, Bob Dylan. Maybe more of a bully early on, but I'd say he's fallen into a little bit of a crabapple with the Nobel Prize, getting upset at fans for taking pictures.
I could see that. I need to look at the list. So you suggested Ted Williams, who doesn't – I'm going to politely decline him for the list.
That's fair.
But, let me look at this list now. Let's see what we got. Lil Reed, Spike, Greg Popovich, Bernie Sanders. And who'd you just say again? You just said Bob Dylan?
I said Ian MacKay, which I think you agreed on. And then
Ian MacKay, can you put Ian MacKay at number 28, please?
Got it.
And then my last one, which I think may be not crabapple, but just mean guy, is Robbie Robertson.
Yeah, he's not going on this list. He ain't no crab apple.
Okay.
He'd be on the biggest frauds. He'd be on, if there's a list of frauds, he'd be on.
I want to make a case that you don't belong on the crab apple list. And this is not me sucking up, but I was kind of thinking that to be a crab apple would be someone that most people would be intimidated to approach for fear that they would have maybe a bad experience with them or be.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, and I don't think that most people feel that way about you. I think it's more of a, maybe you're on the friendly crabapple list, but.
Thank you. Like a good witch.
The good witch list.
Yeah, like a good crabapple list. Look, there's good crabapples on this list. Becky Bartkowski is a good person. Charles Grodin. Mark Maron is a good person. Yeah, it's a good list. There's nice people on here. Well, thanks for the call, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Five, Pat?
Yes.
Hello, best show.
What up, Tom? Danny in Newbridge Canyon here. How's it going?
Oh, ho, ho. Newbridge Canyon, eh? Ooh, fancy.
Shut up. I truthfully had some good years. That's all I'm going to say, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It's good living here. I will say that.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. I think the McDonald's out in, out in the canyon, they give you like, it's like the food served on plates.
Yeah, it's on plates, and there's a little bit of gold speckling in pretty much everything, like fries, burgers, shakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very fancy out there. Well, congratulations to you, Danny.
Well, thank you. I'm not calling to sort of brag about my wealth. I'm I'm calling to add something to the topic. I've got a crab apple for you.
Okay. Okay. Who should be on the list?
Well, a little bit of backstory on this, if you don't mind, okay?
No, please.
All right. So in the early 80s, I was in this talent show at Newbridge Community College, and I had this act that I was really proud of. And basically, it was a duet I performed with myself. And it was a duet of the song "You're the One That I Want" from the hit film Grease, of course. And
sure.
I did that super cool, never regrettable thing where you dress up one side of your body as a man and the other side as a woman, kind of like a Glenn or Glenda sort of thing.
Sure. And when you turn one way and you turn the other way, you change personas.
Exactly. So I had full Travolta on one side and ONJ on the other, and I would sing. I would turn to face the crowd as whatever person was singing that verse. And I did this thing at a bunch of small gatherings with friends, and it always killed. All right?
Okay.
But when it came time to do it at the talent show, in front of, like, there must have been 1,000 people at this thing, I just couldn't find either of the voices. I had nothing. So basically, I did the whole act, you know, with the moves and the turns, but just in my own uniquely flat singing voice.
Okay.
Just really bad. And I'll tell you, it was the longest 10 minutes of my life. See, I thought it was going to kill, so I made the song like 3 times longer than it is. Just kind of looped it. So it just went on and on, and when it was over, the judge, oh, he was brutal. He was so mean. And the judge was Ed McMahon.
And he was mean.
He was so mean. And this was just before he got the gig on Star Search. So he was just kind of like, I guess, kind of trying out this thing as like being a judge of talent shows. And honestly, he had I don't know. He basically said, I have no right to ever be on a stage again. And he might have been right, but it was very hurtful. So he's my big crab apple. But I did get my revenge. That night, I had a friend sneak me into the Newbridge Hilton, and we poured cement in his bed.
My God. You poured cement in his bed? Was he in it?
Not yet, no. We timed it right before he got in, so it was very wet still when he got in. And it was just, and then he couldn't get out. He was like kind of swishing around, and it hardened, so... And he did have to get cut out, which I guess probably wasn't cool, but he shouldn't have been that mean to me.
Yeah, well, that's horrifying, though, that you... No. Yeah, that you... That's a pretty severe version of revenge.
Well, it's like that old saying goes, that's why God invented skin grafts.
I've never heard that old saying.
I think it's been around since like time and memorial.
Sure. I've never heard it up until this second. You're saying it's a really old, well-known phrase. I don't know. I don't know what to say, Danny.
If you ever say it, please just say that it's mine, all right?
That's why God created skin grafts.
And then you say, my buddy Danny came up with that. Or didn't come up with it, but he has provenance on it. So
he turned me on to it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But
yeah.
The real crab apple in my life?
Yeah.
My fiance, Sheila. She's very mad at me.
Your fiance, Sheila, why is she mad at you?
Well, she thinks the film crew I hired to document my marriage proposal was too small.
Too small?
Yeah. I don't get it. We had 2 static cameras, 3 handhelds, boom mic. I was lobbed. It was basically the same crew that shoots all of Kevin Smith's B-roll, who is also essentially the billion second unit. So I don't know why it wasn't enough, you know, but I'm really suffering the consequences of this.
Okay. How so?
Just getting yelled at and stuff, you know. And, you know, okay. There's a whole other layer of this, which is, you know, I'm having huge anxiety trying to keep those dollars flowing in. You know, I'm getting kind of desperate right now.
Wait, what's going on with that?
Well, I'm just having a dry spell. You know, my financial history is both varied and storied, but I can't imagine you want to hear about that. I'm sure it'll be as tedious as listening to Bruce Springsteen explain his creative process.
Well, no, I'm legitimately curious about this. This sounds interesting.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I'd like to hear more about this.
Okay.
What's going on?
I've been a flagrant entrepreneur since my late teens, and amazingly, I had major success right off the bat. This would have been a couple years after that talent show, and so. It happened when my former partner and I co-created the Nightmare Machine. Remember that?
The Nightmare Machine? Really? That was you?
Yes. Yep. That was us. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, that is wild. I mean, I would assume everybody knows what a Nightmare Machine is, but, I guess if you somebody really young, they're not as prevalent now, I guess, right? But it was a more of a thing when I was a teenager. This thing was wild. There was a little device that you kind of put alongside your bed when you're going to sleep, and it made these sounds that I guess are best. How would you describe them? Like horror sounds?
Just like monster sounds, there's a sound of an exsanguination, that sort of stuff. Yeah, pretty much just anything that would scare a kid or an adult, pretty much.
Yeah, and they were pretty amazing because you'd turn on your nightmare machine, go to sleep, the stuff would totally permeate your subconscious, and you'd go to school the next day and kind of talk about what bad dreams you had with your classmates. It was pretty wild because you'd be like, I had a dream that Mr. Albertson, the math teacher, was chasing me around with a hacksaw. And because it could be like, I had a dream that a mummy, I was fighting a mummy, because the sounds would really help shape and kind of inform your dreams.
Absolutely, yeah. And then I know of a lot of schools that would have nightmare machine competitions, you know, and there'd be prize money involved, and it pretty much took over the nation for a little while, and kids were going nuts for this thing, and we couldn't keep them in stores. There was even a nightmare machine cartoon. I don't know if you recall that, but trying to think, the main voices were, Ruth Buzzy, Sinbad, and Blue Oyster Cult bassist Joe Bouchard. That's right, yeah.
That's a pretty esteemed cast.
It was, yeah. So it was very exciting. But then, you know, my partner Rex and I had this big falling out. I accused him of ripping me off, and truthfully, he hadn't ripped me off, but I was pretty paranoid because of my flagrant cocaine issues. I was literally showering in it.
Wait, you were doing what?
I was showering in cocaine. Basically, I had a tank set up in my bathroom that would feed coke into the shower nozzle, and so I would bathe in coke, you know, which is one thing, but I took it a step further where I would use the coke to flush my toilet also, which I admit is probably the biggest waste of money in the history of drug use.
That you would use the water, your toilet water was like coke infused.
Yeah, so I never touched that coke. Like, I never got any perks from that coke. It just was the water that flushed my toilet.
Just toilet coke.
Toilet coke. Now that I'm writing that down because that is a great, it could be an invention, it could be a song title, it could be a wrestling move. I'm just writing that down.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you for that. So, anyway, Rex and I go our separate ways, and he scored big with several wrestling-related ventures, and I lost my shirt on my first solo venture.
Okay. What was that?
Jangletown Ranch.
What's that?
Jangletown Ranch.
Jangletown Ranch. What is that?
Well, Jangletown Ranch was America's first and only ever, as far as I know, Old West and Power Pop amusement park. Why?
Jangletown Ranch. I don't know how those two things would fit together at all.
Right, right. Well, here's the dish on that. Basically, what you could do there at this thing was you could ride horses or watch an old-fashioned shootout while the music of the Plimsolls, the Records, the Pez Band, and Shoes blasted at high volume over high-powered speakers. And, Tom, you're not going to believe this, but I flagrantly overestimated the demand for a venture like this.
Well, I would say that I don't know if you could – I don't know how you could overestimate demand for that at all. I don't know that there would be any.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, no, I think you're right, and I can only blame myself for falling under the sway of a very charismatic man who went by the name of Power Pop Pop Pop.
Oh, my God, Power Pop Pop Pop.
Well, you've heard of him?
Oh, I've heard of him, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah, no, that's a caller called in so many years ago about he had a whole run-in with him, and it was insane, the awfulness that went down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this guy was like the Charles Manson of melodic guitar rock, and people in Newbridge were calling him Paul Pop at one point. He was so terrible. And basically, he convinced me to tweak my already in the works Old West amusement park and add this new musical element, and honestly, I've never even heard of Power Pop before I met this guy. See, I was into cool, thought-provoking music like The Doors and Frank Zappa.
You're into what kind of music?
Thought-provoking music.
Thought-provoking. And what thought does that music provoke exactly?
The Doors and Frank Zappa together, probably superiority over other humans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing everything.
What's that?
Just knowing everything and being above everybody else.
Yeah. Doesn't it ever strike you that Jim Morrison was really, really, really not smart?
Well, I'll tell you, a pair of leather trousers can make up a huge amount of ground in that department.
Yeah. He,
flex.
No, he really had his thing figured out. I tell you, he would have been like a Keith Raniere type.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Total shaman slash, horrific abuser of both men and women.
Yeah. When the volleyball's over, turn off the lights.
We're playing volleyball at 3 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me rub your shoulders.
The snake is on the volleyball court. Just
Father, I want to serve you.
Yeah.
Father, I want to serve to you.
That would be unbelievable. Jim Morrison playing volleyball like Keith Raniere.
So when it came time to name the amusement park, I did some research on Power Pop, and I saw this article in a magazine called Jersey Beat that used the term jangle to describe what I thought was this kind of music, and I thought it had a cool ring to it, so I called it Jangletown Ranch. But see, I didn't realize that there was a difference between power pop and jangle rock. And okay. It turns out there's a big difference, at least according to Power Pop Pop Pop. And he had this leather-bound book that was basically the rules of power pop about hair length, song length, guitar strap length, what songs couldn't be about. It was endless. And so he thought bands that jangled couldn't be power pop. Like he thought jangly artists like R.E.M. or Let's Active and Tommy Keane were the equivalent of free jazz.
Wait. He thought that Let's Active were free jazz.
Yeah, he thought they were, like, out there. You know, compared to the bands that he liked, The Snaz, The Fun, The Yes, The No, The Maybe.
Yeah, that all of those were, so to his ears, that was, like, he needed it to be very structured, power pop, pop, pop.
Absolutely. Just, like, straight beats, I like you, girl, you like me, that sort of stuff. And so, you know, but he was an intimidating guy, so I let Power Pop 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 have way too much input into this thing, and I was scared of him. I admit it right now. He had this thing called the Popper, and basically the Popper was a miniature Rickenbacker bass guitar that was also a taser, and he popped you if he was mad at you, and this thing stung.
Okay, it's you really feel the popper.
Oh my God, you felt it. But years later, karma comes around, and he paid the ultimate price by being barged by the disgruntled power pop community he helped create. So that's a whole thing right there. And some say on clear nights you can hear his voice way in the distance saying, "You stinkers would never have even heard those Heaven Tonight outtakes if it wasn't for me."
Wow. So scary? it's like that sounds pretty spooky.
It is, yeah. Excuse me?
I was just saying he's out there.
I think he's out there. Some say that he's seeking power pop revenge, which I don't like the sound of. You know, and basically within like 3 months, Jangletown Ranch closed. We tried a last-ditch attempt to get people to come by staging a bull riding competition between the Newbridge Wranglers rodeo team and members of the Rubenews, and who else was there? The DBs, the Paul Collins Beat. But it went horribly wrong when Paul Collins shattered both his upper and lower haunches. Oh my God.
On a bull riding event.
Yeah. And this thing, the sound was so scary. It was like a rabid bear rolling around in bubble wrap.
Oh my God.
So scary. Oh my God. So people were just vomiting. Oh, so that was the end of that venture. And then Rex and I thankfully made up and we scored huge with Beanie Babies.
Oh, Beanie Babies, huh?
That was like striking gold.
Okay. Well, that was definitely a thing of its moment.
Oh, it was huge. And we were making so much dough, it was like printing money. Correction, we were printing money.
What do you mean you were printing money?
We were earning so much cash, hand over fist, that the U.S. Mint couldn't keep up with how much we were earning. So the Mint actually sent us our own printing presses.
Hold on. The U.S. Mint actually sent you printing presses and what? Like, to just say, like, look, you're making so much money, you guys take care of making it.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. On your honor. And you know, which in theory sounds great, but you can imagine how deadly that was for a guy who was ensconced in a nonstop ski trip. That's like for constantly doing coke.
Yeah, no, I followed that. That was pretty. Oh,
sorry, I don't know how tuned in you are to that scene.
Well, no, I pretty much, when you mentioned that you had a toilet that was filled with cocaine infused water that for you to mention a ski trip, I figured that's what it was.
Okay. Well, anyway, I was doing so much krill, my entire olfactory system shut down.
Your what?
My olfactory system.
Olfactory system, not old factory.
No, it's old factory. It's when your sense of smell is so torn up that you can't tell the difference between a new and an old factory.
That is not what it is. That is the...
Sure.
It, Danny, that's just not what it is.
Crack it's a book olfactory. On medicine much? It don't sound like you do.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to even tell you to crack to get up to speed on that, but it's not old factory.
All right, fair enough.
That's fine.
But all right, well, I went hog wild because I had so much money. I was buying the biggest and the baddest things, and one of my favorite T-shirt sayings is "Big boys play with big toys," and Tom, I had the biggest toys out there.
Sure, you really love slogans like that, huh?
I do. And I had a live-in jet ski.
What's that?
I had a live-in jet ski, which is basically a full-size house that was also an aquatic recreational vehicle. And Tom, you haven't lived until you've done donuts in Key Biscayne from the comfort of your own bedroom.
I guess I haven't lived then. I never even knew that was a thing.
You gotta get on the live-in jet ski tip.
Okay. All right. And that means I need a pool in my own home?
No, the home is the jet ski.
The home. Okay. Well, this is confusing. I can't even picture this.
I know, right? There was only one mate and I had it. And of course I crashed it though, so. What
you
gonna do?
Yeah. So this is pretty exciting. You were really going for it, huh?
I was. I had so much money. I was pouring it into literally any weird idea I could think of. What did I have? I had a miniature golf scoring pencil that's also a fully functioning hospital approved X-ray machine, an airplane powered by walrus farts. And something called orgasm slacks that I probably can't discuss on a non-erotic podcast. Are you on a podcast?
This is definitely a non-erotic podcast.
Do you know of any new ones? Because I'm caught up with the ones I listen to.
I'm not sure of any newer erotic podcasts. I'm sorry.
All right, fair enough. But so none of that stuff ever got past the R&D stage, and Rex said I was wasting his money, and then Rex and I started having big arguments, and we ended up splitting up again, and he went off and made a fortune with the backyard grillulator while I lost everything on two novelty records.
I want to hear more about this, please.
No, we don't need to talk about that.
Come on, seriously, what is it? What are the, tell me about these novelty records.
The first song was called "And That's the Story of Rock and Roll," and it was basically a 12-minute epic that connected the characters from decades worth of famous songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like
what? Like which ones?
Johnny B. Good, he falls in love with Peggy Sue, but Miss Molly is kind of insane, and she tries to kill Peggy Sue with one of the tusks that she stole from the Walrus, that's a tough word, like Rowids from Black Sheep, Rowids.
Mm-hmm.
Rowids. So she tries to kill with this walrus tusk that she got from one of the Beatles, you know, from the song about the walrus. And what else? The woman from Stairway to Heaven is Angie from the Stone song of the same name, and she's involved in some kind of illicit criminal enterprise masterminded by Mr. Brownstone from the Guns N' Roses song. Pretty much every line of the song was like that.
This is epic.
It is. And frankly, it was very hard to follow. Even for someone steeped in rock and roll history like Robert Christgau, who called it the densest, most convoluted and confusing song ever written, and that lyrically it makes the Gas Station Dogs' Rock and Roll Dreams Will Come Through seem like I Want Candy.
Wow. So you really went for the story of rock and roll.
I did, yes. And the chorus was sung by a 100-member children's choir, and the lyrics were that's the story of rock and roll, a genre of music that soothes one's soul. And it's just too weird, like a phrase to hear children sing, you know, like, soothes one's soul. It's all smeared together, so it never made any sense. So it was a disaster. I think we sold 17 copies, but I had a million pressed up.
You pressed a million, like a million copies of the single.
Yes.
And you sold how many?
17, I think.
Yeah, that's not good, Danny.
Yeah, it was very bad. And the other novelty song, forget it. We really don't need to get into that one at all.
Oh my God, no, please tell me about the other novelty song.
All right. Well, it was a double entendre song called "Jerkin' My Gherkin," It was kind of a modern version of that Chuck Berry song "My Ding-a-ling." But this was about a guy trying to get the last pickle out of a big jar.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it had 14 verses, each slightly dirtier than the last, while still remaining PG.
Sure.
Guess how many copies and I pressed up?
Guess how many copies you pressed up?
Yes.
I'm going to say another a million.
2 million.
2 million?
Guess how many copies I sold?
You sold 17 of the previous record. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll say this one moved more than, this one probably moved 10,000 units.
No, it sold 16 copies.
So one less than "That's the Story of Rock and Roll," your yeah. pickle song.
Yeah, terrible. I mean, I had nothing at that point. I had negative money, but thankfully Rex and I teamed up again in 2010 for the Doodlebops movie, which again, huge money, along with the spin-offs, Doodlebop Babies and Doodlebop Poodles.
Doodlebop, so that you were there for that too, huh?
Oh yeah. And then the money like instantly started pouring in, and we were literally doing that thing rubes on TV do when they get rich all of a sudden. Do you know what that is?
Thing rubes do. What is it?
It's a song they sing.
What, we're in the money?
Exactly. We're in the money. And doing that thing where you point your finger, we're in the money, we're in the uh-huh. money. But only this one didn't end in tragedy. We actually had all this money.
Sure. So you had all this money. And so you're back now. Now you're back.
Totally back. I have a huge falling out with Rex again. And I lose all my money again.
Really? Well, yes. So you went up, down, up again, and down again.
Yep. So I lost it all in 2014 on Podcast the Musical.
All right. Please tell me about Podcast the Musical.
It's exactly what you think it is. A kid with a dream of letting the world know his very important opinions moves to the big city to make it in the world of Major League Podcasting.
And what kind of songs were in Podcast the Musical?
Oh, my God, there were so many great songs. Let me see if I can remember them. What Kind of Mic Should I Buy? Hot Takes for Days. So Many Things to Say. Fake Laughter Blues. This Needs to Be a Two-Parter. I Think My Sound Effects Suck. Girl, Let Me Talk Over You. Marin Mentioned Me. What were some other ones? Should We Sell Coffee Cups? I'll Be on Yours If You'll Be on Mine. And the big finale was We Made the Top 200.
My goodness. That is those songs. Girl, Let Me Talk Over You.
That was a really good one. Yeah, it was like that was like punk pop. Yeah.
Sure. So Podcast the Musical didn't pay off?
No. We opened in Philly and it just didn't catch on for some reason. And I don't know, I think it might have been too big city for those goons. Like I think they barely had Wi-Fi at that point. But the worst part was the phantom heckler.
A phantom heckler. What is that?
Every night there'd be this heckling sound, but we couldn't figure out where it was coming from. This guy must have been hiding in the lighting rig or something, but he had a microphone and a portable PA. But I will never forget that voice. It was just like it came from above like thunder.
And this is during the show.
During the show, every couple minutes you'd hear it, and it would go, "Oh, this sucks."
Just a guy saying, and you're down there in Philly trying to run this show to get ready for, I'm assuming, Broadway.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you got some Philly guy that you cannot find talking through the PA system saying the show sucks.
Yeah. Yep. One of the crew guys did go up there at some point, and he didn't find the guy, but he found like a couple of bottles of what's it called, Yingling beer, and something called Peanut Chew wrappers.
Yeah. I think I might know who that was.
Oh, geez. Well, tell him I'm gunning for him. But all that's in the past now because I have just the thing that's going to put me back on track.
Yeah, just the thing that's going to put you back on track. All right.
I sure do. And oddly, it's another song.
Okay. Well, tell me more.
Well, this thing is guaranteed to be a monster. And I truthfully, I've not actually heard the song, but the entire music industry is talking about this thing. Like I said, I'm not one of the lucky ducks who's heard it. But from what I understand, it goes... Popcorn bowls. I sure do miss Grandma's popcorn bowls. They were round and deep, and you wouldn't say a peep when she brought out those popcorn bowls. I mean, this thing is going to be the next I Will Always Love You, or at least the new November Rain.
Popcorn bowls. You really think a song about Grandma's popcorn bowl is going to... Be that kind of standard, basically?
I do, absolutely. And if you have any idea where I can get my hands on that publishing, I'd be forever in your debt. I've got a few leads. I've spoken to at least 8 people who have a landlord who might be able to help.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Danny, I'm going to ask you something, and don't take this the wrong way, okay?
Okay, I already am, though.
You kind of have to, in a way, because that's how questions like that go. There's no way to not, if somebody tells you to not take something personally, they're about to say something you're gonna
so bad.
Probably take personally, yeah. But I'm gonna ask you to just try.
Okay.
Well, you've done so many ventures, and the ones you've done with your partner, your sometime partner Rex, seemed to just go light it up.
Right.
And then you have these ones you've done by yourself, and they tend to, it seems like they crash and burn. Is there anything to the idea that Rex is maybe the brains behind all the successful ideas?
I am so in the flesh right now, Tom.
You're so in the flesh right now.
I'm so angry, but I'm gonna try to take a chill pill, and I will say this: Rex was lucky to have a maverick like me with wild ideas as a partner. Sure, he scored a massive payday in 2017 with the fidget spinner, and then again in 2018 with that video game Brainiac Station. But he's been in the pocket of Big Math ever since.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, frankly, I'm embarrassed for him because I'm beholden to no one, of course, outside of my ex-wife, her lawyer, Mort, you know, and his constant threats to ruin me over non-payment of alimony. But I'll tell you, if I could just get my hands on that Popcorn Bowl song, all my financial problems would be in the rearview mirror, that's for sure.
Well, Danny, can I ask why you seem to be so... so hard up for money?
Tom, have you seen any footage of the Capitol invasion?
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen a lot of it.
Well, I'm the guy in the combat gear who made a big production of urinating on Nancy Pelosi's desk, but couldn't because I can't pee in front of other guys. I thought I could, but the video, it sure doesn't lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's you, huh?
That's, yeah. But hear me out. I challenge any dude out there to be able to brew up a pitcher of pant lemonade when the eyes of the nation are upon them. I think in the history of entertainment, only Donnie Most has been able to do it.
In the history of entertainment, yeah. Yeah, you're right. So it doesn't have nothing. It has anything to do with how repulsive that action was. You're kind of hung up on the fact that you couldn't make water on with a camera.
It's not easy. You should try it. Try it right now with a camera.
You know, I'm not going to try it right now. I have no interest in this at all. In any way, shape, or form, do I have any interest in this? And you're kind of skating past the issue that you were one of the people attacking the Capitol.
Well, I feel like I'm going to pay for it soon. You know, to cut a long story short, I'm on the lam from the FBI right now, and at present, I'm cowering in a neighbor's doghouse. But listen up, they will never take me in because America. I am a patriot, and I will not let the fake news... Oh, no.
What's that?
Oh, no. Tom?
They're here to take you in?
There's a whole team of FBI agents just outside the doghouse. And seriously, I heard the FBI agents were big Best Show fans, but I didn't believe it until just now.
Why is that? How do you know they are?
Well, they must be listening in. They're quoting lines.
What lines?
Get off my phone. Wait, what? One guy's doing old Glazer bits. One guy's imitating your soundboard stuff.
Wow, these are pretty deep cuts there with the FBI. What are you saying?
Excuse me?
What were you just saying, Danny?
Oh, I'm trying to remember all the names of the other people I was at the Capitol with so I can cut a sweet deal to keep myself out of the hut.
Oh, that's a first class way to be, huh?
There was Milt Morrison, Sheila Larson, Troy Zepkowski,
your Tim girlfriend. Lynch. You're turning your own girlfriend in.
Well, you know, she's mad at me. She was very mean to me tonight. There was Big Pete, Mark Schwipple, Little Pete, Claude Morplethorpe, Medium Pete, Bobby Dukowski.
So Medium Pete was at the thing, huh?
He was. Yeah. Wait, are you trying to make me feel bad about giving up names?
Yes, absolutely. I think I feel like. You're a traitor to go to that thing, and you're a rat you're ratting out your own friends for your safety and for your freedom.
Well, put yourself in my shoes. I can't go to jail. If I can't pee in front of other guys, I certainly won't be able to do the other stuff.
Okay, well, maybe you should have thought of this before you, did what you did. Huh?
Well, I know. But look, it looks like the end is kind of nigh for me. So there's only one thing I can really say or do, and that's. I got chills, they're multiplying. No, I don't have it. And I'm losing control, cause the power you're supplying, it's electrifying. All right, here we go. You better shake, cause I need a man. I still have it. And my heart is set on you. You better shape up. You better understand. To my heart, I must be true. There's nothing left for me to do. You're the one that I want! Oh. No, I don't have it. Still don't have it. Ugh. It's frustrating.
Danny? Well, how about that? Because that's the end of Danny. Wow. Pat?
Yes.
Any calls?
Tons.
I want to just say this right off the bat. First of all, yeah, I know I say I just want to say this. I know I'm saying it too much. I'm looking at Twitter now. It's the saddest thing I've ever seen. I don't know if I know, you know what though? Yeah, I support this. I see Dudio. He's going to work. Let me look at it. This is who he's tweeted at. Seth Rogen. Ted Cruz. He's trying to get Ted Cruz on the show. I don't want Ted Cruz on the show. And so he tweeted of Wayne Knight, Ryan Reynolds, Seth Rogen, and Ted Cruz. Trying to get all four of them on the show.
And I emailed Gary Busey.
And you emailed Gary Busey.
Yeah. And it didn't bounce back. So the address is still real. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well. So you're working it. I'm assuming, Pat, have you reached out to anybody?
I'm on hold with Scott Rogowski.
You're on hold with Scott Rogowski. That's again, Scott Rogowski's kind of one of my people.
He's on five.
Okay. Well, give me a line that's not that line.
Okay.
Best show, hi.
Oh, hi, is this Bong Sharpling?
It is Bong, yes, it's Tom Sharpling. If I open the weed store in New Jersey, it'll be, what was it again, Pat? The what? The best, what were we calling the store again?
Oh, man.
Wasn't it the best smoke?
The best smoke with Bong Sharpling.
Bong Sharpling, yeah.
Yeah. To whom am I speaking right now?
This is Caitlin from Rochester.
Caitlin from Rochester. How are you, Caitlin?
I'm doing great. But, Tom, you have to do this for me. As a fan of the best show and as a fan of Double Threat, you have to put Alec Baldwin on the crabapple list. Because I want to start a duel.
You want to start a duel between who?
Alec Baldwin, you, and Julie Klausner.
No, there is a duel already. You kidding?
No, but you got to push the duel. You got to put him on the crabapple list, and then he finds out about it. He's like, oh, I'm a crabapple? You're going to call me a crabapple?
So I'm a crabapple, huh? You really think I'm a crabapple? No, I got to say this. Alec Baldwin, I did my business with Alec Baldwin. I think he quit. He took a break from Twitter, I think, because we were teasing him a bunch. I think I did my damage already.
I think if you started teasing him, you have to go full force into the tease. You can't give up on the tease.
I haven't gone full force. I've done 10 hours about this guy in the last 6 months. That's not full force.
All day, and I think about how Alec Baldwin is a crab apple, and I need you, Tom Shively, to put him on that list and put him in his place. This is about justice.
No. I don't know what to say to you.
Listen, did you watch the movie Freaky with Vince Vaughn?
Not yet. I'm excited about watching it, though.
Let me tell you.
I'm doing this top. I'm doing a top. Before you tell me, before you ruin, don't ruin it for me, first of all.
Oh, I can't ruin it a little bit?
Well, you can't ruin the what happens in the movie. I know I've seen the trailer. I know what happens in the trailer.
Well, can I ruin, like, one romantic
scene? No, you can't. I'm going to watch the movie. I'm a huge fan of the director, Chris Landon, son of Michael Landon, by the way. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that. I actually had no idea who the director was. I knew nothing about this movie.
Did you see Happy Death Day?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Did you see Happy Death Day to you?
I didn't see the second one, but there was a really cool Lizzo Bee Gees cover where she does Staying Alive. And I was like, oh, that's cute.
Well, I'm going to say this to you, my friend. This guy.
Yeah, Bong Sharpling.
Bong Sharpling. Trying to keep me off balance, huh? You're trying to, this is like I'm parrying here, like it's a fencing. Old fashioned fencing duel.
I came here with a flame.
I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you right now. Give me one second. I was talking about these movies, and you're going back into your screed. Your screed about.
I'm sorry, Bong Sharpling.
Alec Baldwin. Well, yeah, and you call me Bong Sharpling again. Okay. Well, just Happy Death Day. And Happy Death Day to you. I tell you there's a PG-13 horror movie, you'd be like, take a jump in a lake. Go jump in a lake. I ain't watching that. But you watch Happy Death Day? That's a good movie. It's fun.
I'm still going.
I'm still talking. Give me a second.
I'm so sorry.
Ay, ay, ay. And the second one is like the equivalent of what Back to the Future 2 is for Back to the Future.
No, it's not. It can't be.
It cracks it open, and it's so much fun.
Oh, shit. I got to see this.
And you curse. There you go. We're checking all the boxes tonight.
Oh, my God. Well, I want to be Vince Vaughn. That's my Freaky Friday. I want a Freaky Friday as Vince Vaughn.
Is the other topic on the table tonight, which I think is probably going to end up surfacing on another show in a more substantial way, is that we're talking about, I want to know who'd you Freaky Friday with? Who'd you switch places with? And you, Caitlin, what is it, Caitlin?
Yeah, Caitlin from Rochester.
Caitlin from Rochester. You decided, of all the people you could Freaky Friday with, that you'd take one of the two actors from the movie Freaky to Freaky Friday. Maybe not the most original thought.
No. I want to fix what they did wrong and redeem Vince Vaughn in that movie. I'm the only one who can do that for him and his career.
Because this movie is basically, what if a Freaky Friday happens between a young lady and a serial killer?
Yeah, it's a young lady, which would be me, and the serial killer, which would be Vince Vaughn.
You can't think of anybody else other than the people you saw do a Freaky Friday in a movie for who you do a Freaky Friday with.
I don't want to ruin it for you, okay? So I can't tell you why I feel so confident about this answer.
I can't tell you why. Who's that? Do you know what band that is? Hint, worst band.
Is that the Beatles? Is that Queen? Led Zeppelin? Is it Led Zeppelin?
Is it Letty Zepp? I got to say right now, you might be my favorite caller ever or my least favorite caller ever. I am not sure. It might be both at the same time.
I'm always
like, I like what you're selling. I like what you're selling. This is what I'm going to say. I like what you're selling. I might not want to buy everything at the table, but I like what you're selling.
You know, people say you're an Eeyore, but you're a little bit of a piglet, you know?
Why?
Okay, bye, Tom Sharpling.
Why am I a piglet?
You have to discover that about yourself.
Oh, you're
I just being, see it in you.
I don't know why you're being mean to me right now.
I'm not bullying very nice. You.
I've been very nice. All night, I've been very nice. You're being very mean.
Your least favorite caller. There's a possibility I'm the least favorite caller of Tom.
Or the favorite. Don't you see the amazingness of that? You know how many callers have called this show?
You're right.
The idea that you could potentially be the worst of all of them or the best of all of them?
When you say nice things, they are nice. You're right.
Because I'm nice. I'm nice.
Yeah, because you're a little piglet, aren't ya?
Well, that's just mean. I don't know why you're being so mean.
No, he's kind. He's kind-hearted.
You're being Alec Baldwin. You're trying to do Alec Baldwin to me.
Closers don't get coffee, or do they? Closers get coffee. No coffee for Tom Sharpling.
This is fascinating. You are the most fascinating caller that's ever happened.
I'm hanging up on you now.
I'm going to give you the hotline. You're going to the front of the line. You have carte blanche to call the show.
Stop. Goodbye.
Or you're going to get banned. I don't know which one.
Oh, Jesus.
You have a great night. And some energy. That's like I'm looking on Twitter right now. BB in Las Vegas, one of my favorite people on the planet. BB says that's some upstate stones. No, that's some definite. That's some definite upstate New York energy. Rochester. Little too snowy up there. They get a little frustrated. It's a little too snowy. Comes out of the wrong way. Take it out on Tom. Now here's something that I want y'all to focus on. I'm looking right now. Jason, you're a political news hound, right?
Yeah, I'm a political junkie.
What's the name of the fella that was just named to be the head of what now?
Secretary of State?
Yeah.
Anthony Blinken?
Yeah, hold on a second. Anthony
Blinken.
Now, what I heard that he get a load of this. When you wrap your head around this, Jason, do you know one of his claims to fame?
I do.
This is where, and look, I'm going to say this: these Republicans, they could go kick rocks down the road. As far as I'm concerned. But they're always like, oh, the weirdos and the Democrat thing. I can say this. This guy's weird. The Secretary of State of the United States of America was an associate producer of an Abel Ferrara movie.
That's not the fact that I knew.
Abel Ferrara can look at the president of the United States and say, in terms of 6 degrees of separation, one. Blinken. He'd say, I know Blinken. Blinken works. Blinken's a secretary of state for the United States of America. And he also produced The Addiction. Did you know that? You did not know that.
I did not know that. I thought you were referring to his rock band.
What? I don't know about that.
Yeah, he has a rock band on Spotify called A Blinken.
Well, that's the dumbest band name I've ever heard, A Blinken. I would have voted for Trump if I would have known. I seriously would have voted for Trump if I would have known that the Secretary of State, Biden's Secretary of State, would have a band called Abe Blinken.
I'm glad I didn't tell you this.
Let me see. Where is it now? Can you send me a link to his music, please?
Yeah, let me find it.
Abe Blinken. The idea that Abel Ferrara, the man who brought the world the original Bad Lieutenant, from the mind of Abel Ferrara, that he could potentially visit the White House and grab the nuclear football. Think about that. Mike, any thoughts about that?
Is The Addiction a good movie?
I don't know if I ever saw The Addiction. I think I would remember if I saw it. I did not. Yeah. I don't think I saw it.
Since it's a horror movie.
Yeah, it's a vampire movie.
Yeah, not my thing.
Christopher Walken vampire movie, not your
Say
thing?
Say hello to Spark.
Hold on. Hi, Spark. What is this? Abe Blinken. This is going to make me throw up. Well, let me try to guess what kind of music this guy is responsible for. I bet you it sounds like kind of Dave Matthews. He thinks it sounds like Wilco, but it sounds like bad Dave Matthews. Bad Dave. Imagine bad Dave Matthews. But how does that make you feel, Mike, in terms of security, knowing that the Secretary of State, the guy who has Joe Biden's ear, also has Abel Ferrara's ear?
Yeah, it's a strange coincidence, right? Plus the bar band. The bar. I think I sampled some of the bar band music.
I'm going to check it out. Here we go.
Somebody like me, I wanted to tell ya, but I was so afraid.
That's the Secretary of State. Yeah. It sounds like Bad Spoon.
Yeah. You said you liked me fine, but not in that way. Oh, was it such a crime to want you to stay? And then I came on to you, but you said let's just be friends, yeah. You're paying me.
This is so strange. This guy, Spoon, are going to end up playing the White House. And this dude's going to get up and jam with him.
Mind if I play on Cherry Bomb?
And he's only got 263 subscribers on YouTube. I think they might be, and comments are turned off. This is not good. These are not good signs. Comments are off.
Yeah.
263 subscribers. He's had 2 years to get all these hits, and he's at 28,000 listens for Lip Service. Yikes. That's bad news, man.
Hey, Abel, I got a new song coming out. It's called Lip Service.
Yeah, sounds good. Bring it by the Chelsea. I'll check it out. Come on up.
What, you think he's going to put Abel Ferrara on the cabinet?
Secretary of Sleaze. Come on, Come on, Abe Lincoln. Make me Secretary of Sleaze. I'll bring a print. I'll bring an original Bad Lieutenant print by me, you, and Joe will watch it tonight. Watch it in this screening room. I got a VHS tape of it.
He comes by with a beat up VHS tape of Bad Lieutenant, like all sun bleached from being in a video store window. Which it would be bleached because it's the B's, A and B, C. Those get bleached. Could be in the window of one of those, like those video stores that New York always had so many of that were just, there's clearly some zoning thing. So they would just have like a rack of non-pornographic movies up front. And then the entire rest of the store was just pornography. They'd be like, hey, we're just a video store. What do you want to get? Cool Runnings? I got a VHS tape of Cool Runnings. Is that what you want? Or if you go through the saloon doors, the 95% of the stores through those saloon doors. We got all kinds of movies here. We got Bad Lieutenant, Cool Runnings, and 50,000 porn DVDs behind that door.
Remember that era.
What's that?
I remember that era in New York. I don't think they have those anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they do. Oh boy, this guy. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. This makes me wish I could take my vote back a little bit. Pat, any good calls?
Yes, let's go to line two.
And do you think that last caller was making fun of me, Pat?
100%.
You do?
Yes. I think she was making fun of you and then tricking you with a I'm laughing with you moments that were peppered in to an underlining call of I'm making fun of Tom.
Oh. You know, I'll say this, Pat. That hurts. But I'll take it. I'll take the truth.
No, I mean, it was bait and switch the whole time, back and forth.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Pat. Thank you. You're a straight shooter, Pat. World needs more Pats. Besho, hi.
Hello.
To whom am I speaking?
Nicholas in Portland.
Nicholas in Portland. What do you got for me, Nicholas?
I have a couple suggestions for Top 50 Crab Apples. The first two would be David Letterman and Chevy Chase.
David Letterman's on the list, my friend.
Oh.
David Letterman comes in at number 39.
Very nice. And I'm not sure if someone's already mentioned Michael Jordan or not, but he seems like he would be a crab apple.
I'm not putting him on. I would put Jeff Van Gundy on the crab apple list. Put Jeff Van Gundy at number 23, Michael Jordan's number. Like, literally give Jeff Van Gundy, 23, former Knicks coach Jeff Van Gundy, put him at number 23, the spot that Michael Jordan should rightfully have. Because on this list, Jeff Van Gundy is Michael Jordan. This is where Jeff Van Gundy can fly. This list, let me review this list. Number 50, Becky Bartkowski, Jason Gore, Larry David, Judge Judy, Colin Quinn, Russell Crowe, Aubrey Plaza, then Young, Nash, Stills, and Crosby, David Letterman, Todd Barry, Richard Dreyfuss, Clint Eastwood, Mark E. Smith, Charles Barkley, Robert Pollard, Billy Childish at number 32. Then we jumped to number 28, some empty spots. Ian MacKay, Charles Grodin, Rizzo from Grease, Reynolds Woodcock from Phantom Thread, Steve Albini, Jeff Van Gundy, Bill Belichick, ironically two coaches back-to-back there, Julie Klausner, Siskel and Ebert, Harvey Pekar, Miles Davis at number 18, at number 15, two empty spots, then B. Arthur, Anthony Bourdain, Mike Francesa, Mark Maron, Harrison Ford, Van Morrison, the top 10, number 10, Van Morrison, number 9, Orson Welles, 8 is empty, 7 is Bernie Sanders, 6, Coach Greg Popovich. Number five, best show, former best show caller legend, Spike. Number four, Lou Reed. Number three, Fran Lebowitz. One and two are empty. I want to take a couple people off this list right off the bat.
Who are you suggesting?
What?
Who are you suggesting?
Well, I'm about to suggest it.
Apologize.
That's all right. You're okay. Who should I take? I got to take one person off. Who didn't land on your ear correctly on that list, my friend?
Probably, honestly, like Aubrey Plaza. Like, I think it's just her character work is probably just what defines her as a ground or as crabapple. But I don't think that she personally is probably a crabapple.
Yeah, I'm going to say she's a crabapple. She's not. It's not a judgment. It's not a bad thing. She's a crabapple. It's okay. I ain't taking nobody off this list. I'm going to take Colin Quinn off the list. Number 46, Colin Quinn, off. All right, there we go. Very good. You got anybody else for the list, Chief?
Chevy Chase?
No, he's a douche, as I said last week.
Fair enough. You have a lovely night.
Oh, you have a great evening. Thanks for the call. Line five, we got line five.
Line five coming in hot.
Line five coming in hot. Oh, boy. Great. There's what sounds like some live fish going on in the background. Best show. Is this Scott Rogowski? Oh my God, am I really going to have to listen to this live fish while we wait for him to come on the line? Hang up on him. Hang up on him. Pat, hang up. I don't know what you're doing, Scott. I don't know what you're doing to me. Get a message. Get a message. Yeah, Scott doesn't have much time. Well, tell him to stop playing fish. Call back, Scott. Yeah, playing live fish. God forbid you listen to the best show. I tell you, the lack of respect going on around here for me is unbelievable. I got one guy. One guy's bragging that he got a guy that threw up on David Lynch on the list as his crowning achievement. Got another guy trying to guilt me because he got because he got the David Crosby to call up 7 years ago. And then I got Scott Rogowski. I got the guy from High Q Game Show and Running Late. It's a good guy. Good guy. I like him. Good guy. He calls up, though. He gets bored. He starts playing fish. Doesn't even listen to the best show.
That was my fish. Hold music. You got my hold music there.
Is this Scott?
Tom, this is my favorite erotic podcaster. How are you, sir?
No, oh, I'm good. Now, let me tell you this. As I explained last week, I was listening to an audiobook about fish, and I heard the whole story, and then I started reading about fish, and I was just like, man, I like everything about the band Fish except their music. I think their music is not my cup of tea.
It's dumb. You think it's dumb?
No. So then Scott, I asked Scott, who I know, because Scott's a friend, and I know he's also a fish fan. And he puts together a list. He says, listen to these fish records. And you tell me these are the ones he thinks that I would like. He says, gives me two albums and two songs. First of all, I listened to the album Billy Breathes. And I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's not the worst thing I ever heard.
Okay. That's high praise from you.
I say this. The song Billy Breathes, that's a nice song.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really nice song. That was a good song.
You can't not like that song.
Well, I definitely could not like it, but I did. And this is the thing. This is the thing I'm going to say to you, Scott. This is what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to be honest about the thing and not just go, listen to it. It's all awful. Like, no, that's the Grateful Dead who I've listened to. I've tried. I listened to this Live Dead the other night. Oh my God. I can't believe this is what these people fall for. I listened to Anthem of the Sun.
Yeah.
This is a Grateful Dead. The stuff that works. Anthem of the Sun, Oxo Moxo. It's like, at their best, they're second tier San Francisco psych. At their best. That's what they made. They're worse than Jefferson Airplane. They're worse than a couple of those bands.
Better than Quicksilver Messenger Service. Can we agree?
Yeah, better than Quicksilver Messenger Service. But they're just perfectly fine. I get it. And then suddenly I was into Live Dead, Dark Star, 23 minutes. Ay, ay, ay. Then I heard this one album. Oh, no, you got to listen to the Skull and Bones album or whatever. Skull and Roses.
Skull and
Bertha.
Roses.
I listened to a song called Bertha.
Bertha, don't you come around here anymore.
Yeah. Oh, Tom, don't you come around here anymore. That's what it should be more like. So then I'm listening to it. So I try. I try with all this stuff. I'll be honest. I'll be honest if I'm wrong also. And I'll say this about Fish. Let me pull these Fish songs up. So then it's Billy Breathes. I listen to this album.
Yeah, play it.
And I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. It's a little, in spots, it's like bad. It's like bad Wilco, but they were ahead of Wilco. That's the thing. They figured out what a worse version of Wilco was before Wilco was Wilco, which is kind of impressive. There were a couple songs on this album that I thought were, I liked Billy Breathes. I thought that's a good song. Prince Caspian. I thought that was a good song.
Yeah.
I was like, this album's all right. Then I listened to a song. Speaking of right, I listened to a song called "Everything's Right," and it's terrible. That's a bad song.
Oh, you didn't feel inspired to appreciate it during this time, this pandemic, this time of uncertainty and anxiety. Everything's going to be all right. Just hold tight. It's just a positive message. It came out April 1st. I mean, the song's been played for years, but they released on the album April 1st of 2020. So it was of this time, but I guess you don't have a soft spot like I do.
I feel like a good way to, we could have ended coronavirus was to play Fish for it. And it would have left.
Could have smoked out the virus.
Yeah, we could have smoked out the virus by playing Split Open and Melt, another one that made me just go, oh, this is what I thought Fish sounded like. This is no good.
That one they did play for Noriega, I think, to get him out of.
Yeah. So then I listen to this album. I'm like, all right, look, am I going to revisit it anytime soon? Yeah, probably not. I don't know if I'm going to revisit this anytime soon. Billy Breathes. Think it might work itself out of the rotation now, pretty quickly.
You've exhaled. You've breathed. You're good.
Tommy breathed.
Tommy breathed.
Yeah. So then I listened to this album because Scott Rogowski, former host of High Q, HQ.
HQ.
Former host of HQ. And he's got things on the horizon. This guy tells me, you don't count. This is one thing you always bet on Rogo. Always bet on Rogo. This guy is a fighter. He's a scrapper. I'll tell you one thing. He might have a smile on his face and you think he's a nice guy. You back him into a corner, you look out. It's like a mongoose.
Yeah, I actually got a new show this week, Tom. It's like a cash cab, but I get nice and drunk first. We're calling it DUIQ. And I ask questions while I...
Hey, wait, is this real?
Under the influence. it's for the reincarnation of CISO on Peacock. No, it's not true, no.
Oh, I wish I was going to say, Scott, you did it again.
I did it.
DUIQ, I would watch... I would participate in DUIQ every night if you did it. So then I listened to this album, The Story of the Ghost. And this is what I'm going to say. There's two albums going on this record. One is with Fish, where they clearly, something got in these guys' noggins where they thought that Talking Heads were the greatest band that ever existed. Some way they thought, you know, who's really funky is Talking Heads. No, they're not. Remain in Light blows. I listened to it the other day. Those are some of the most inauthentic grooves I ever heard in my life. And then, so it dropped in the middle of it as a novelty song. They might as well have done Talking Heads, might as well have done Pac-Man Fever and put that on that album. Curly Shuffle. They could have done Once in a Lifetime. There should be the song Once in a Lifetime should have never made it further past the Dr. Demento album. Should have been like Fish Heads, Curly Shuffle. Should have been Fish Heads, Curly Shuffle, Pac-Man Fever, Once in a Lifetime. And these guys, Fish, they're like, oh, I think we're going to cover that whole album.
Yeah.
But they got songs. Bird of a Feather sounds like bad Talking Heads.
I can hear that. Yeah, I hear that.
And look, I like earlier Talking Heads. I like it. I like Fear of Music. I love Fear of Music. Mm. Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
The Eno produced stuff.
The Eno. Zimbra. See, the thing is, well, Remain in Light is Eno produced, but when he produces Fear of Music, I go, Eno. But when he produces Remain in Light, I go, Eno.
that was good.
It is. Well, I'm pretty funny, Scott. Yeah. You should know that. I can kind of come up with things like that.
You are the master.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing I'm getting lately. Oh, that was really funny. Yeah, it was. It's me. It was acting like it's like a minor miracle at this point. Like I'm walking on the beach with a metal detector and I'm finding a joke.
You should get a book deal. You should write for TV. Yeah.
I should. Yeah. So then I listened to this album and I'm like, there's songs on this that are just irredeemably bad. But then there's some good songs on it. I'm going to say, I'll admit it. I listened to this album three times. There's a few songs on this I accept a few songs on this. Waiting in the Velvet Sea.
Interesting. My friend Steph thought you would like that one. She called that.
It's got a mellow side. This album, like, there's so much. This is the thing we're saying about Fish. Do I like Fish? Yeah, not really. No, I don't get. But at least I understand these quiet songs. I see what they can do that works.
Yeah.
But they seem to have some strange compulsion to not want to do that all the time and want to play some corny, cornball funk.
Cow funk. They call it cow funk.
Yeah.
You know, these are Vermonters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I, the white guy funk, it's really the white guy funk that you're not feeling. I mean, the Talking Heads could be accused of the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. And what's the song? Guyuti?
Guyuti.
Guyuti. Which is like, no, that was just some old-fashioned, goofball prog singing about elves and stuff. And I was right. Like, man, it's fine. He literally says the line, something like, I feel like a newborn elf.
Yes.
And I was like, that is the dumbest lyric I have ever heard in my life. And it kind of fits in this song. I can't condemn it. So this is what I'll say. Fish, you don't get an F. How about this? Fish. Ooh. Your name doesn't start with an F, either. And on the best show, you don't get an F. You get a D.
Oh, okay, okay. Not a Waiting in the Velvet C, but a D. Waiting in the Velvet D.
I'll say this. Why do I keep saying I'll say this? When did this, when did that start for me now? Ay, ay, ay. There's a few good songs on this album. They have a way with a quiet song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you see them live, do they do these quiet songs, or is it all just like...
They mix them in. They mix them in. I mean, I it's all about, you know, setting the set list. You got to have your peaks, your valleys. But I'm telling you, Tom, when this whole thing opens up and we can see concerts again, or I'll put it to you this way. We can go see a Phish show, or we could head up to a Holiday Inn in Albany, and we could get some sashes and sit in on a Nixium meeting and see, and
no.
I
want to
see.
Oh, that's a, look, that's actually a coin flip whether I want to join a reconstituted Nixium, yeah, or go see Phish. I'll say this. If somebody out there knows Phish, if I can ride the hot dog, let me ride the hot dog, guys. I only had a couple goals in my life: to ride the little cart in the Holland Tunnel, which is a dream that's dead because they tore the tracks out. The other dream was to play with a chimpanzee. I don't think that's happening anytime soon. And now my other dream is to ride the Phish hot dog.
I'm with you on that one. That would be, we can break into the rock and roll.
Oh no, I'll push you out. I'm going to push you out of the hot dog. You'll be like, we're riding the hot dog at the show. Isn't this the greatest we're doing? I'll go, what do you mean we? And then suddenly, doof, I kick you out. And then you're in the sea. You get all attacked by all the Wookiees.
Oh, God. You got the terminology now, too. You're deep
Wookiees,
in this now.
People don't know Wookiees. Is that's what they call the trash at a Phish show.
Yeah, the Wooks.
Yeah. Now, when they play these quiet songs, is that when you go and make sure your tent didn't get trashed?
The bathroom breaks, yeah. I'm not the typical Phish fan. I told you, I like the studio albums, and I prefer to listen to those over the live shows sometimes. And at these live shows, I like the quiet songs. I like the soft songs. You know, like the Waiting in the Velvet Sea, by the way, has a very important role in the history of Phish. That was... They played that at their very, was supposed to be their last show at Coventry in 2004, the famous
Ed show. Didn't go well for
debacle.
Them.
Did not
that show
go
didn't
well.
Go well for them.
Did not go well. And Paige
it's
was
so disappointing
up
after Yellow Button and, the Big Swamp and, that they had the final show didn't go well.
No. But that was kind of the low point when they were singing that song and they couldn't get through. They were crying and choking up, and it was, boy, that was rough. So that's kind of scarred, you know, fans with that song. But but I like, you know, Billy Breeze. I would see that. It's rare to hear those now. They don't really play them that often. But I would love to get a Billy Breeze at a show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I give you the white sash, Tom. I think you're a student of Phish now, officially. And
all right.
And you're in. You're inducted.
I love it. Thank you for welcoming me.
Do you want another album, or are you good? You're done.
No, I'm good. This covers me for a while. Don't worry. We're good. We're good for a long while.
I'll take it. A D.
No, but I say this to you, Scott Rogowski. Thank you for caring and for, you did what no one was ever able to do for Grateful Dead for me. And all these music fans, none of them could pick a thing that I liked. And Phish, I would check it out. The late, great Harris Whittles was like, listen to this one. Listen to that one. One thing's worse than the next.
I carried the torch for Harris. I'm proud and honored to have carried the torch and to have, I guess, lit up your proverbial spliff with that torch, in a way.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. You're sweet.
Yeah.
You have a grand evening.
You too, Tom. Take care.
Okay, bye. Good guy. Rogo, Scott Rogowski, good guy. What do you think of that? Dudio used to go see Phish all the time.
Yeah, I've seen him a few times. Yeah. Back in the 90s.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. I told a friend recently who's a big Fish fan that, you know, once we get to the other side of this pandemic, I will totally go to another show.
Okay.
Would you like to go as well?
No.
Okay.
No, I will go. I'll go see Fish. I don't care.
It's a fun show. They're great live. Mm-hmm. They really are.
What happens to the to your stuff though? Do you have to really have to worry about it, that somebody's not going to ride like an ATV over your stuff?
Well, I typically, like, I would go to like MSG. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go to like one of these outdoor festival things. That's just too much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like an exit.
Yeah, you like an exit. Yeah. All right. Well, look, any word on any of these superstar guests? We got anything?
Nothing yet, but, you know, still trying. I'll, keep plugging away on it. I got some, tips from Patrick. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that. Patrick, that's the, what's his face?
Yeah. Patrick from, George Lucas Talk Show.
Yeah.
Got some good tips. Man knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he certainly knows how to get guests.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. I got to text somebody. Hold on. All right. Pat, any good calls?
Yes. Line one.
Hi, welcome to the best show.
Hi, Tom. This is Dave from Ashland, Massachusetts. Hope you're having a good night. I have a couple of crab apples for you.
Dave from Ashland, Massachusetts. What's going on in Ashland, Massachusetts tonight?
We got a little bit of snow going on here. You know, we got a couple of neighbors town over that call us Crashland, Massachusetts. Not too respectful, but we live up to the name, so doing our best.
Mm-hmm. Good. You're trying, right?
Yeah, you know, we make the Bayonne look like Dubai over here. So, like I said, doing our best.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate it. Don't know exactly what that means, but you sound like a good guy. Who do you got for the list?
All right, I'm just going to go rapid fire here, and you can yay or nay. So I'm going to start off with Grumpy Cat. I feel like that's a respectful symbol for the cause.
No, humans only.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right, well, I'm going to throw Tom Brady out there. I feel like we should bump Belichick same way we bumped Michael Jordan, to be honest.
Well, Bill Belichick's one of the all-time crab apples, though.
Yeah, but that's because Tom Brady was, you know, doing what he was doing. I mean, look at Brady. He wins a game. He's like, we're looking the next week. Who knows where that started? Could have been Belichick, could have been Brady. Look at Brady now. But that's, you know, I rest my case.
Okay, well, you rest your case. I'm the judge. I'm throwing your case out.
I respectfully accept that. Thank you. Thank you for that.
No, look, I get what you're saying, but Tom Brady ain't no crabapple the way Bill Belichick's hunched over like a crabapple. Everything, he doesn't talk. He grunts.
Imagine someone handing Tom Brady like a chocolate-covered strawberry and the face you'd get. That's crabapple. That's a crabapple that none of us can understand. Imagine that. Imagine if you handed him a hummus plate that happened to have a rice cracker on it. Just the disdain in the eyes. I'm terrified just thinking of it.
All right. I get what you're saying, but I can't agree.
I got you. All right. I'm going to throw out another name now. It's AP Mike anytime he's watched a quality movie.
No, I'm not putting it. Look, I'm going to say this. I like that tennis movie so much. And then this he starts, I don't know. But what about the thing when the guy hit the clapboard, tapped the microphone? What?
I only did it about 10 times in the movie.
Yeah, I could have done it 30 more. I loved it. It was how they navigated the filming.
Totally agree. I watched it. I thought it was great.
This is what I don't get. This guy said, they hit the thing so many times. It took so long. Where are you going? What are you in a rush for? Well, you got to get a bus. You got to catch the bus.
I thought it was going to be a documentary about John McEnroe, and it was about this filmmaker who stayed in one court. You know, I was hoping for some interviews with John McEnroe. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's not there, you know.
Well, then you should go make your own John McEnroe.
Yeah, like I said, I'm waiting for the 30 for 30. Great subject. Mm-hmm. Better execution.
No, look, if you can't handle art, I don't know what to tell you.
I can't handle art.
You want something, what are you, like meat and potatoes? That's fine. You know his music you should check out? Abe Lincoln. You'd like his music.
I already checked it out. Not good.
Go listen. No, that's meant for you. You like more meat and potatoes. Go check out Lip Service by Abe Lincoln.
By the way.
Our current Secretary of State.
By the way, you can't be more wrong on Remain in Light.
No, okay. Tell me.
What are their best records?
Oh, well, that says a lot about their catalog then. If that's one of their best records.
It is, of course. I think it's even their highest record on the Rolling Stones.
Oh, good. Then great. Let everybody over rolling. Let Jan Wenner do a little. He could go do somersaults listening to it.
What's your favorite Talking Heads record?
Fear of Music. Yeah.
You told me this.
I think they're all of a piece, the first four records.
Mike, I listened to it the other night, and I was like, this one's uniquely bad. They went somewhere, and then they backed off it on speaking in tongues. They tried a thing. God bless them for trying it. That thing stinks on ice. And I know it's not the common public perception right now, but I listened to it the other night. I gave it the 80th try I've given that record in my life. Don't move the needle for me.
You like iZimbra, though.
iZimbra?
iZimbra. Yeah,
I like that song. That's all right. Yeah. I like Cross-Eyed Painless.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I liked that. I was like, well, that's a one I love. And then I listened to it, and I'm just like, I don't know. It wasn't doing it for me as much. I like two songs on it, those two. No, I like it. Not iZimbra. iZimbra's on the other one. Cross-Eyed and Painless is the one I'm thinking on, Remain in Light. No, that didn't do it for me. Boot-oot. Me-noot. Boot-oot. Me-noot. Boot-oot. Boot-oot. Me-noot. Boot-oot. Me-noot. Now you don't need to listen to the record. There you go. I just did the whole record for you.
Did you read the Chris Franz book?
And then you picture a guy doing Monster Mash over the top. He basically is like Bobby Boris Pickett, David Byrne. Lost my shape. I was walking through the graveyard one night. Picture Bobby Boris Pickett, giant white suit. Did I read what, Mike?
The Chris Franz book.
No, I didn't.
It's a weird book. He tells you just about every meal he's had while on tour. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never read a book where he's telling you about every meal in every city he played.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Did you like it?
There were good parts. Yeah. I mean,
okay. Oh, you didn't get mad because you wanted a more conventional Chris Franz autobiography, and you got one that focused on different things. Like the McEnroe thing?
Yeah, it was sort of like, why is he telling me about the meals when he could tell me some more things about the different shows?
All I can say is if you don't think that movie told you so much about John McEnroe, I don't know what to tell you.
It told me about the mechanics of his play, which was interesting. I said that.
It told you everything about the guy's drive.
Yeah, but, I mean, interviews would have helped.
Look, if you didn't like it, you didn't like it. That's fine. You go listen to your Talking Heads record and your Abe Lincoln record and have a party over there. You and Jan Wenner and David Frick and all your Rolling Stone buddies can do a conga line. Go to a conga line through Midtown Manhattan, crank and Remain in Light.
Yeah.
What do you got, caller? Caller, anything else?
Yeah, I got a couple more names here. I got Louis Black next.
Who?
Louis Black?
No, Louis Black's not going on the list. That's a faux crab apple.
All right, Dan Aykroyd.
He's not a crab apple. He seems like a science nerd.
I don't know. He reads crap apple to me, but, you know, this is trash when we're talking. All right, Terry Francona.
Okay. No, he's mid-level coach, not all going right. In terms of crab appledom.
All right, you know what? You strike out. That's the trash one way. I do have, right. I know it's not October or anything, but I got two cats here. I got Muse to give and a bag of treats if you guys want to hear it.
No, hang on till I bring them back in October. We'll do Cattober in October. I promise you.
All right. Have a good. Okay.
All right. Have a great night.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a ton.
All right. You want to give me five, Pat?
Yes.
Best show. Hi.
I wanted to tell you. Oh yeah.
Oh, I love it. Who got me this guest? Mike, is this you? Mike, did you swing this one, Kurt Vile?
No, I didn't. I didn't do it.
Is this you, Pat?
I'll get Jello Man.
No, that would be like the opposite. Don't get Jello Man.
Yeah, Kurt Vile. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, I kind of like that Abe Lincoln song.
Okay.
Tell you, oh yeah. Actually, no, I got like a mesh of your topics in my brain combined right now. I got, like, you know, somebody's, like, found my movie. That was pretty amazing, right?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. When we were trying to do the thing to help people find the thing they couldn't figure out.
Yeah, and somebody figured my movie out. But anyway, I got this song in my head. It's like a Nugget song. Maybe you know it right off the bat, Tom.
How's it go?
It goes, I think I'll die before my time.
Oh, no, it's the Birds. Artificial Energy off of Notorious Bird Brothers.
Really? No. I Think I'll Die Before My Time.
Yeah, that's what that song is. That's wow. What that song is. Because let me check.
I actually love that record. That has the Gene Clark song, Truck Stop mm-hmm. Girl. Well, he didn't write it, but that song's a heartbreaker. It's on that record?
Kurt, I want to tell you about the lyrics. It goes, artificial energy is racing my mind. I've got a strange feeling. I'm going to die before my time. I'm coming down off amphetamine, and I'm in jail because I killed the queen.
Man, I feel all those lyrics hard. But yeah.
That's such a, I want to say this to anybody. You want an entry point for the Birds? After you know the hits, then maybe you check out, like, 5D is a good album to check out, I think. But I think you go right. Notorious Bird Brothers, I think, is the best Birds album.
That's crazy because, yeah, I always would go to that Gene Clark song, but I guess I rarely listened front to back because I got it a little later, and that song affected me so much. But early on in my life, like my early 20s, I lived in Boston for a couple of years, and all these kids were going to college, and I was driving a forklift. Everybody's like, they're playing all this music. It sounded like hip, like, I don't know, like Nugget stuff. Everybody acted like they were so cool. But, meanwhile, I'm just driving a forklift. But it always seemed like a Nugget fan to me. So thank you.
No, well, you think about it. It's Nuggets adjacent. I mean, they were on the scene.
Yeah, well, that Truck Stop Girl is a heartbreaker too. Cause like Gene Clark, who invented the B-bender, like, you know, that bender on the Telecaster guitar that makes it real, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, real, like, twangy. But anyway,
yeah,
that song Truck Stop Girl, and then like the way he died, like he got died, he like reunited with his band or something, and got hit by a truck, like loading out his car, very young.
Yeah, that's awful. Gene Clark was such a brilliant singer and songwriter, and was just such a amazing person. It's amazing that his role in the Byrds was so relatively diminished because of Cross, because Cross drove him out.
Did he? Cross?
Yeah.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
Another nail in the coffin for the Cross.
Come on, Cross. At some point, you gotta be a nice guy, Cross.
Yeah. Nope. So I only know all the stuff from books, but part of the way he was brought up, his parents were mean to him, you know, so he had a lot to prove. They would leave a note on the fridge that said, "No food for you, fatty." His parents did that to him.
Yeah, he had a rough go of it. But at some point, you gotta drop it. You gotta calm down.
Hey, what's up, Philly? This guy's from Philly. Anyway, that's cool. But listen.
Yeah, that's right. This guy's from Philly, man.
Sometimes we forget, yeah. We gotta explain it to other people, but you were the cause.
That I went on your big New Year's show at Philly dressed as David Crosby and just walked around stage. Like I was in outer space.
Yeah. Well, we should, let's make some kind of track where you do a sound collage, and I'll give you something, and we'll make some kind of acid house jam. That's what I want to do.
Oh, my God. Let's do that. Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do that for 2021. That's one of our things we'll do, without a doubt. Right. I would love that so much.
Oh, and, you know, I think, you know, somebody who loves you, who's a big star that maybe would – we could get to call on your show sometime, is Kesha, the pop star. She's who I love, but she told me she likes you.
I like Kesha. Oh, my God. I would love to talk to Kesha in a second. That'd be unbelievable. Kesha's awesome.
Cool.
Let's do it. And well, you have your EP came out. It came out on vinyl a week or so ago?
Yeah, it came out, I guess it came out this week or so. Yeah.
It's so exciting, and it's such a great record.
Thanks, bro.
What's next? You working on a full length?
Yeah, I'm working on a full length. I really got the home production going on. I got somebody helping me here, a couple spaces. I did push back a tour a little bit. I think I'm going to release like an EP or something this year, and then like on the top of next year, release a full length. I can't say for sure, but there's going to be a lot of music coming out, and we're taking it slow. I'm going to come out to L.A. Maybe I'll see you in the spring. I'm just working pretty nonstop at a good pace. And I'm listening to your show every week. It's so good. And the whole crew over there, I know they're not getting your stars maybe, but you guys are all awesome family. You're really funny.
Kurt, you're sweet. You're sweet. I kind of wish you didn't say things nice about them, but
I couldn't help it because, like, it's all pretty entertaining for one.
Yeah. Kurt, we're going to do more. You and me are going to have a good year. We're going to have a good year, 2021.
Totally.
And then we're going to launch right into 2022. I can say this, Kurt Vile, and we're not going to say a peep about anything else. You're one of the few humans on this planet who read my book, and I'm going to say this. One word, in one word, give one word to sum up this book that comes out in later this year. What is your one-word summation of my book, It Never Ends?
Dude, I can't give it one word, but I could just say, man, you're telling your story the Tom way, and, you know, you're telling the story the Tom way like nobody else could tell it. It's like, it's got your humor, and it's heavy, too. It's all those things, like, you know, it's the Tom way. The dude, you're telling your story, and people, follow your fans. I don't know. It's going to break their heart in the best way. Like, not even saying things are sad or what. But it's
well, you're sweet. You're sweet. You're so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Kurt. I can't. We're going to have a good year, buddy.
Yeah. And, hey, lastly, you should listen to that Steely Dan song, Only a Fool Would Say That, because that's actually a really good song. Even Jeff, who hates Steely Dan.
All right, I'll write it down. I'll listen to it. Only a fool would say that.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, you have a great night. I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, love you, bye.
All right, bye. Good guy, good guy. Mike, Pat, Jason, you had nothing to do with him coming on the show.
But he had some kind things to say.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about that.
Sounds like a lot of people read this book, Tom.
He read it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't. You want me to tell you God's honest truth? I didn't know you could read.
Well, it's. I'm pretty good at it.
Look, I'll say this, and I'm being completely honest. 6 months ago, you were bragging to me that you were finally up to the letter S in the. Like learning your letters.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy's got like 6 or 7 to go. I want to throw a grown up book in front of him. Like he's going to say, like, I know the H, I know the E. I don't know what that thing is at the front of it. What is that? It looks like a weird, a tree a little bit.
In this book, like, what are we talking? Is it large print? Because I can do that really good.
No, it's regular size print. See, that's the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Jason, you're a TV addict. You're a news junkie and a TV addict. I've been watching a lot of Pluto TV.
I love Pluto.
You know what I would say this? Why do I keep saying that? How did that enter my thing that it's my default thing? I'll say this.
That was my impression of you, too. Those three words.
I'll say this.
Yeah, remember I did my impression of you?
Yeah, I remember.
That should have been a time when you stopped doing it, right?
You mean like you made me smoke cigarettes? Like you caught me smoking a cigarette, you made me smoke the whole pack?
Yeah, I turned a mirror.
Is there Jason, Pluto TV ain't got nothing to, you got to watch all those lousy commercials, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's a way to pay for it. I think that's how they get you.
And this is some low grade commercials on this thing too. Eye cancer. Watch the thing. They show these bloody eyeballs. I'm like, well, what is this? This is who's? I don't. This product does not apply to me. Are you dying? Like that's like what the commercials are like. Were you defrauded in a medical procedure and you can't walk anymore? It's like the commercials are so extreme on it. Like, man, I could get some ad time on Pluto TV.
A lot of mesothelioma.
A lot of mesothelioma, yeah. A lot of wear your mask ads.
Did Joe Namath Medicare ad?
I didn't see that one. Were you watching Pluto TV too, Mike?
No, what's on Pluto TV?
Everything.
Yeah.
You flip by it and they have all these channels. They literally have a Doctor Who channel on this thing.
Oh, God.
Which is wonderful.
I'm out.
No, but that's not the, Mike, they have everything on it. Everything.
That's not my favorite channel.
What's your favorite channel? The Wings my channel?
The which one? The Wings?
Yeah.
I do like the Wings channel. I do. But I like the channel. What is it like? Slow Ride or something? It's just the train. Have you watched that one?
I have not watched that. It's just a train rolling by?
It is just a train going through like Finland or Sweden. Just like going through all, that's all it is.
Well, I gotta check this train channel out tonight.
It's so calming. It's amazing. I'm trying to find the name of it right now. I'm
going Slow Ride. Is that song playing on
that
it?
Plays the whole time.
Take it easy. So, yeah, I'll check out this Pluto TV. It's a real garbage dump for everything, but it's good. If you're interested in watching season 4 of Surreal Life, this is the place for you.
Every episode of The Rifleman.
Yeah, there you go, Chuck Connors fans. Every episode. And I'm going to talk more about Pluto TV next week. I'm just scratching the surface here. I probably shouldn't have even brought it up because I want to go in-depth with it.
Have you gone in-depth with Cozy yet?
No.
No.
Is that the same thing?
Well, they got a whole, they have a whole afternoon of Michael Landon shows. Little House on the Prairie.
The Highway to Hell, whatever that show was.
Highway to Heaven.
Highway to Heaven.
Yeah, I never saw that show before. You know the premise, right? He's an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Come to Earth to do God's bidding.
Yeah.
So he goes into these towns, and I guess I think I saw the first episode, and I got drawn in. I have to admit. And he's at a nursing home, and he's trying to, you know, you see all these depressed people at the nursing home. He goes in there and he brings them all to life. He's got them gardening, doing this and that, and then he's got this nice nurse there. An assistant who sort of gets put down by the manager, and she starts falling for him. And I'm like, well, how's this going to end? Because, you know, the angel can't hang out and get married, you know?
Yeah.
So I got pulled in. I'm like, how's he going to make the split here?
Mm-hmm.
So he disappears.
Okay.
But this new cute guy moves into his apartment, and the lady who was just falling for him, all of a sudden, she like forgot all about him. And she's moving on to this next guy, you know, like he didn't break her heart. You know, it's like, really? It wasn't very believable.
This sounds like a pile of trash that I want nothing to do with. But yeah, no, you're right though. That John McEnroe documentary was lacking in certain things. But by all means, let's go a little deeper into Highway to Heaven. This is where this guy's at. And this is why this guy infuriates me like no other human on this planet. He puts me down for liking this amazing John McEnroe documentary that's on Criterion for another week. As if I'm like,
I'll have to do a poll.
As if I don't get it. As if I don't get what it was. But then now he's going to go in depth on mid career Michael Landon shows.
I'll do a poll. Amazing or pretentious? And people can weigh in.
You do a poll. I don't care. Poll can say 1,000% pretentious, 0 amazing. I don't care. I liked it.
I know.
Mike, that's all that matters. I liked it. You like Highway to Hell. I like Criterion Channel. You like Cozy TV. We're two different people.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But we agree to disagree.
We agree to disagree. Yeah. Just like you think the Talking Heads album is the apex of funk. I don't.
I didn't say that. I said it's the best Talking Heads album.
Mike, Pat, what do we got going on here? What do we got? What do you make of all this madness?
I haven't seen it, and I haven't checked out Criterion yet, so I should. But it's only on another week, you said?
Another week, yeah. But you know what? If you want to see it, Pat, I'll pay for you to see it if it's on another service.
Well, thank you.
Do you have a Criterion Channel membership?
I have a code a coworker gave me that I still haven't dove in on yet.
I'm just gonna send you. I'm gonna send you $20. You get your own subscription.
All right.
Because unlike these other two, Pat, you're above the fray.
Well, thank you. That's very nice.
Got one's moaning I didn't send them the book. Got another guy's bringing down everything I like. And these are the two guys. You look at the two of them. One got David Crosby to call for 3 minutes, and he wasn't even sure where he was, to be honest. The other one got some guy for throw up on David Lynch's shoes to call up. He didn't know where he was.
And you couldn't get him off the line. He wanted to stay the whole time.
It's a classic call. Went deep.
Yeah, we really went deep. I'm telling you, I don't want either of you. I would tell you right now, don't get me Ariel Pink. I don't want him.
How about Craig Carton? He's back on the air.
Oh, that loser. No, I don't want that bum.
Have you seen that documentary?
Yeah, I saw it. Did you like it?
Oh, no, I hate it. It's terrible.
Yeah, okay.
Although I probably would have gave him $1,500 to go to Atlantic City.
Double. This guy, Craig Carton, he had a problem. He had a gambling addiction. It's terrible. But he was just a real mess. But he was also one of these guys who, he's one of these guys who is just like, oh, he's such a jerk, but he's a nice guy in real life. He's a nice guy. We sure he's a nice guy in real life? We're sure, so sure about that. And he works with this snowman carved out of butter, Boomer Esiason. It's like if you took a giant 7-foot block of butter and carved it and tried to carve a Frankenstein out of it, you'd end up with Boomer Esiason, one of the truly talentless people of our era, of our age. And if you watch this documentary, you're like, we were doing comedy all the time, and it's like it'll be Boomer Esiason with a hat on. And Craig Carton will be going blah, blah, blah. And it's like, these are the best clips of the comedy you guys were doing.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
We were number one. It's like, well, you know, number one don't mean a whole lot. Trump sure packed out that Capitol. Yeah, Trump was number one in the ratings that day over at the Capitol. So full house.
He's back though, just as bad. It's terrible.
Well, God bless him. God bless. I hope he turns a corner.
He's got a new sidekick.
Well, what's his new sidekick?
I can't think of his name. Evan something. He's terrible too.
Oh, that guy from WFAN. Yeah, that guy's awful.
Yeah.
Pat, how many more calls do we have? We got to go fast through these.
Unfortunately, we got a full phone bank, but I put a couple people on telling them that they might not get on. So.
Well, everybody's getting on, but we're going super fast.
All right. I'm going to go oldest to soonest.
Thank you. Pat's a class act. I like how Pat runs the show. He doesn't make it about himself. He knows how the bread's buttered over here. I wish it would be nice if some other people took a page out of Pat's book. Professional, elegant, charming, above the fray. Who do we got? Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Andy in New Hampshire.
Andy in New Hampshire, what do you got for me?
Well, I had a couple for the crabapple list.
Let's hear them.
Tommy Lee Jones.
That's a crabapple. Put him at number 30, please.
Number 30.
Who else you got?
Harlan Ellison.
Now, I'll take your word for that. I know it. No, Harlan Ellison, definitely a crabapple. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, number 46, Harlan Ellison, please. Anyone else?
I had one more. It was a long shot, but I thought if you didn't care for the first two, I'd throw it out. It's, I'm sure you know the show, Billy on the Street.
Yeah, what are you going to say, Billy Eichner?
No, I was going to say Elena.
Elena from Billy on the Street. I feel like we have better versions of Elena on this list already.
Okay.
All right, thank you, though. You did well.
Thanks so much.
Okay, good. You too. Good night. Next call, please.
Hello?
Hello, hi, Best Show, you're on.
Oh, hi, Tom. This is Ben in Sacramento.
Hi, Dan. What do you got for me?
Oh, Ben. B-E-N.
Ben. Okay, Ben, what do you got?
I had a crab apple, and then actually regarding last week's semi-topic, I had a Trump pardon story.
All right, let's hear the crab apple first.
Well, you had some coaches and retired athletes, but no current.
Okay, who do you got?
Russell Westbrook.
Huh, that is a good... Yeah, Russell Westbrook's a definite crab apple. Put him at number 17, please. 16. 16 for Russell Westbrook. Okay, what's your story real quick?
I was on a family Zoom call over the weekend and found out that my dad went to high school with a guy who was on the pardon list. Patrick Swisher, who apparently he had a toilet sanitizing business and then got busted for tax fraud, and Trump just pardoned him.
Well, God bless him and his toilets. Thanks for the call. Well, you made the list. I appreciate it.
Have a
next
good one.
Call. Hello, best show.
Hello. How's it going, Tom?
Hi, welcome. Good. Who's this?
This is Eric calling from Canaan, New York.
Eric, who do you got for the list?
Tupac Shakur.
Is he a crab apple?
Definitely.
I don't know.
He didn't suffer fools. He liked to party.
Okay.
Kind of ornery.
Okay, who else you got? Anyone else?
Denzel Washington?
No, he's not a crab apple. Who else you got?
I don't know. That's it, I guess.
Right. I appreciate it. You tried. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, buddy. Final call, best show. Let's go.
Hi, Tom. It's Woody from Rochester, New York. I can be very quick.
Let's hear it.
All right. I got one for the topic. I don't think I heard anybody say Henry Rollins yet.
Yeah, Henry Rollins has to go on the crab apple list. Put him in number 8, please.
Excellent. I'm so glad to hear that.
Okay. Great job. What do you got? What do you got?
Oh, somebody called named Jansen or Jensen from Rochester a couple weeks ago, and I thought I knew every best show fan in Rochester, including your friend Caitlin who called earlier.
You know Caitlin?
Oh, yeah. She's one of my
clarify. Pat says that Caitlin was just making fun of me straight up.
No. That's what she's like. That's not a persona or a bit or anything. That's what she's like 100% of the time. And she loves you and Julie and Double Threat and the best show like you would not believe. So
okay.
Maybe she was a little nervous, but she loves you.
Well, that's fine. I'll tell Caitlin I said all the best to you in your future endeavors.
I will. Okay.
Okay. Well, you have a great night. I appreciate it.
You do.
All right. So I would say we've put Crabapple, put me at number 2, please.
4 spots left.
Yeah. We got 1, 17, 29, 31. I don't know.
We could fill it.
I don't know. We'll fill it out. We'll fill it out during the week. And we'll reveal the list we'll reveal the list on Twitter in a couple days.
Oh, what about Red Fox?
Yeah, Red Fox is good. Put Red Fox in number 17, please.
Can we slip Lee Harvey Oswald in there?
No, we can't.
I was talking, you know, what about like when he was in New Orleans with the pro Castro commie tracks he was passing out? I mean, you know, people are there to party and he's, you know.
Yeah, right. No.
Bother
no.
him in the streets? No.
No, I'm not putting Lee Harvey Oswald on our crab apple list.
Were you going to say John Wilkes Booth next, Mike?
No, I mean, I'm talking about a specific time in Lee Harvey Oswald's life when he was in New Orleans passing out.
Mike, I'm just gonna say, do you think there are 50 crabbier people than him?
People will know exactly what you meant by putting him on the list.
He's pretty crabby dude. I mean, then he became an assassin, yes.
Okay.
You mean his later work.
You're right. I'm out. I'm leaving my own show. All right, my friends. Thanks for listening. The best show is done. You may go in peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Best show be back next week. We've got a good one planned for you. Got some exciting stuff coming up. Debut of a song from a friend. It's going to be cool. Thanks everybody who called, and we will be back next week. Bye.